crazy.
Come on, can you not see The Rock though, all like painted blue and shit, jacked up?
I could see The Rock jacked and painted blue. All right, we already started. All right, I just like to start it and roll it. Episode 17 of Where I Belong. Thank you for tuning in. This is David Corbo, and I'm here with beautiful JJ. What the fuck is your last name? Because I can't pronounce it, and I just read it.
It's Baumlin. Also, they pronounce it Baumlin. It depends.
Who is they?
It's German Jew. I don't know.
Let me tell you, all the years now that I've known you, I had no fucking idea.
I know.
And you knew that.
I didn't know. I thought yours was like Cordoba. Like no, Cordoba, like
for sure
shitty
not.
Taco spot.
On my Instagram, I have the decency to put my last name on there so people could read it.
No, mine's just
my
Bowles.
Wife would go, what's Jay's last name?
And Jay Bowles.
Bowles.
Jay Bowles, yeah.
JJ. Jay Bowles. Like as in Tenacious D.
Like as in Tenacious D, yeah. That's beautiful. Jay Bowles.
I
also,
love
Baumlin, Bowles, kind of all one.
They're coming out with another album.
They got a new song, yeah. That's what my wife
really?
Told me. I don't know. And I was like, is it any good? And she's like, it's good.
It's good.
I don't know, is it funny or is it actually like musically
I
good?
I don't think they're doing anything that's not funny. Jack Black is actually musically gifted.
He's an angel.
He is an angel.
He's got a beautiful fucking voice, dude. Yeah. You're talking about a triple threat guy. Singer. Actor.
Attractive.
Dancer.
Oh.
Possibly. I don't know.
I don't know if he's a dancer.
I think he can move a little bit.
Probably. Did you see him on Jimmy Fallon with the toy saxophone?
I didn't see him on Jimmy Fallon. I don't watch the late night show.
I don't watch
it either. I'm asleep by 9 o'clock every day.
Me too.
But the thing is that I'm up early. I'm up at like 4 ready
me
to
too.
Fucking go.
Get 4? Four, no, I'm not ready to go.
Get a little
I'm
coffee
up
in
four.
Me and I'm fucking. I get up. I hit the ground running. I get out of bed.
I gotta do that. But what I do is I wake up at 4. I get out of bed. I get my shit ready. I'm out of the door. I'm at my job about 40 minutes early. And then I sleep in my truck for 39 minutes.
That's
and then I
almost
wake up.
Like the story of Conor McGregor, except yours isn't going to end with a million multi-million.
For
fights,
sure
you know?
Not. For sure. It might end with somebody fucking me up. What a... All right, so let's look at this beautiful segue.
That's how you segue in the pros.
I
boys.
Like
that's,
that.
That's exactly
that
it.
That was good. UFC 229. Who did you have going into that?
My heart wanted Conor, but I knew Khabib was going to fucking maul him. This is the way I said it. I said, if I slept and didn't watch the fight and woke up the next day, and somebody said it went to the fourth or fifth round and it was decision or it was a fourth round finish, I would have told you that Khabib won the fight. Now, if I woke up that day and you said the fight ended in the late second round, beginning of third round, I would have told you Conor starts him with a left.
I did a podcast recently where I predicted late second round KO by Conor.
That's what your heart wanted. That's not how you knew that fight was going to go down. Your McDojo dude,
he knew.
He knew.
He's very intelligent. As
he's
far as martial arts
third
goes,
degree
he's
black belt, bro.
And also a third degree black belt in nunchuck. I don't know what the name
first
is.
Of all, you saw my nunchuck thing. I can nunchuck like a motherfucker.
I didn't know you could do that.
Dude, I could do gymnastic shit. I'm just one of those dudes that has random abilities. I'll break dance.
How did you learn nunchucks?
Just in the hood, bro. Throwing
just
some
nunchucks. Been in the hood. For sure been in the hood. Never seen.
Dude, you break a broomstick, you fucking rig it up, dude. That's how you do it. You used to take a nail, you hammer one end, then you bend it over, then you take like a piece of like cloth or like rope and you make your own.
I fucking believe you now because I think that's a legitimate, the engineering of that would work.
That's how we did it, dude. Also, you know. That's so in the hood, if you played Ninja Turtles with your boys, you either, if you were Raphael, you took two forks, you're Raphael.
Never Raphael.
I was always
dude,
Raphael.
Leonardo.
No,
Leonardo.
I was Michelangelo or Raphael. Cool but rude.
Yeah, that's
that's Raphael.
I feel like that's pretty much up your alley. So you had you wanted McGregor.
I wanted McGregor.
And unfortunately, I mean I'm never mad.
He's just good for the sport. That's why I want him to win. I like that. He's like the fucking Kanye West of for the sport.
Did you hear
so
what happened with 50 and Bellator?
Offering $2 million, offering Khabib $2 million.
Apparently Khabib
cash,
said yeah.
Which I don't know how the IRS feels about that. Yeah. Can't just tell somebody, I'm going to give you $2 million of cash.
It is 50.
It is 50.
I'm not mad at that.
I don't think it's going to happen. It's just... First of all, after what he did, this might affect like his work visa. They gotta handle.
Oh, yeah.
They're gonna have to handle legal shit before he steps in that ring. And Khabib, knowing that, that motherfucker probably ballooned up right now. He's probably walking around 200. Probably just stuffing his fucking face with tiramisu and steak and shit, or whatever they eat in Russia.
I think, you know, people are like, strip him of the title, don't give him his
That's
purse.
Just because they hate him. Because they're... It's like, he's giving you every reason to hate him. It's like... he's a Islamic radical, he's fucking Russian, he's jumping into the crowd. And Conor kind of said all of that, like, yeah, he's a fucking rat, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I could forgive all that,
mm-hmm,
because what he did was he went after Dylan Danis, you know what I'm saying? He jumped out of the ring and went after Dylan Danis, which is whatever, because that's you know, the fucking rat, the scrap pack there with, yeah, the Diaz brothers, they've done shit like that, yeah, you know? But it's always like a one-on-one or something like that, you know, which that was a problem between Danis and Khabib. Now, that shit that his boys did, that sneaking him, after the guy was clearly beaten up for, yeah, fucking 20 minutes,
yeah,
that's some pussy shit, dude.
But I don't think that is reflected badly on Khabib.
Of course it is, because that's his entourage. That's who he rolls with.
Right.
So you are the company you keep.
Right, which is a bummer. But, like, if you watch the Dylan Danis interaction, it's just those two. You know what I mean? Yes. And then in the ring... There's some other... Did you see the video? Because I watched the video over and over again. It
one guy
like,
snuck him, and one guy came... They were like fucking velociraptors.
Yeah, they were circling
One
him.
Came from the front, yep, and the attack happened from
did
the side.
See, did you see the video? Or it's like a... It's two still frames. One where Conor is, you know, he's standing up, and the dude's like midway through throwing the punch. He's even holding the traditional Russian or Dagestanian hat.
Yeah.
He's going, getting ready to throw the punch. And the second frame is Conor slipping that punch.
Well, he caught old boy
and clapping him straight in the...
Yeah, he caught old boy with a left.
Yeah.
That's because none of them could strike the shit. They're all wrestlers. They'll wrestle fuck the shit out of you. Can't throw a simple one.
They're gonna wrestle fuck you. It was hard to watch in the way that watching Ronda Rousey, because I'm a peripheral fan.
For me, it was like hard to watch, like Rocky going down in Rocky III when fucking.
You talking about when Ronda got caught?
Or? No, when McGregor. Went yeah, out. I was just like, ah, oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
I wanted it so bad for him. I just wanted to see it, man.
Yeah.
You know, like the underdog. That's my whole thing. Like
it's hard to call
Conor. He likes Conor was the underdog. He was
On the numbers, yeah. But as a character, he was
on
top
favorite,
of the world.
Bro.
Yeah.
This is like the WWF shit. He's the fucking baby face, and this dude's the heel.
I'm
not
mad at that either. The whole WWF angle. You know, a lot of people who are self-proclaimed real martial artists think that the trash talking to theatrics is bad for the sport.
It's good for the sport.
Yeah. That's it's good for the fighters.
Fucking ever.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali, fucking Sugar Ray Robinson, they've been talking shit forever.
I think
it's not like the
Conor McGregor retires and starts a fucking program where all he does is teach you how to talk shit.
Shit talking 101.
Conor McGregor suits, he provides you all with all the swag that you need to be that character.
God.
That's what needs to happen.
Our boy, our mutual friend Kevin Cheen.
Yeah.
He went to Thailand, right? And
yeah,
he got
yeah.
a fucking suit made that says the fuck you pinstripe. He got it made for what is, I guess, American $16. But it is like a $3,000 suit.
And it's nice?
That's beautiful.
Oh,
it's so cool. Yeah.
He went to Thailand.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's amazing.
He loves doing whatever he does.
He
went on like a
shit-to
cruise. Florida's the dick of the United States.
I've been there.
It's terrible.
It's all
sister
humid.
Cousin of Georgia.
Definitely a moist dick.
God, it's fucking terrible. I don't want it.
No.
Guns and races.
Yeah, I've only ever been to Florida. I've been to Maryland and... But
Maryland is fucking terrible.
I just went there for a bachelor party. I went to Secrets. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
It was awesome. Yeah. I can't really go into the details.
Because you'll be divorced tomorrow.
No, I'll be okay with the wife. It might be the law.
Okay, the
she's
law.
Cool. She's cool with everything that happened.
No, see, I'm done with titty clothes.
We didn't. I don't like the. I don't like the idea of giving somebody money to pretend that they like me. I'm like, I've never even stepped foot in a titty bar.
Now I have, and it is fucking creepy. It's like, it's like they're pretending to be nice, and they're all fucking close talkers. You know, it's weird, man.
Mm.
Like, they go right up to you, fucking close talking, touch your nose to nose.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Fucking creepy, dude. It's weird.
So yeah, that was pretty much UFC 229. It was a big bummer.
I feel like
I woke up
a little bit more about it. There was a lot more that happened.
I mean,
with the Derek Lewis knockout, like 10 fucking seconds left.
What did you watch? Did you watch the undercards?
I watched I watched the undercards, but I really remember the main event. That was, like, vivid. Like, the Michelle Waterson fight, her teeing up fucking...
Yeah. Felice Herring just kind of pressured her up against the cage, never really...
Trying to use her size, but didn't use it enough to bully her because just the Karate Hottie is on such another level with her striking.
Yeah.
She can't close that distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there's levels to this shit. Like, Joanna... Nobody's going to outstrike Joanna.
I love Joanna. She's one of my absolute favorites.
I love her. She's growing on me. And they got her a stylist, and she's looking good.
Yeah! She's got a little adorable,
got a little sun-kissed skin going on.
Yeah! Did you see that interview where she bought the reporter, the press, the journalist, on stage?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Because he was talking shit about Connor?
And she was like, go on, talk shit, talk shit. You want to talk shit on Connor? Talk shit. Go on.
And he was just like...
fucking head off.
Connor, he does a lot of trash talk, and she's like, oh, you think he does trash talk? Okay.
But he backs it up, no? He's two division champ, no? And he's like, well.
Everything was followed with no.
Oh my god.
I'll kill you, no?
She, her striking, and also it's like the later the rounds go on, the more she just turns it up.
Oh yeah.
Her and Valentina Shevchenko,
that is going to be a burner, bro.
Yeah, I am
so fucking excited to watch that fight.
I'm not a fan.
It does it for me on so many levels.
I'm not a huge fan of Amanda Nunes, not as a martial artist, but as a character. I just wish
she is a weird kind of lioness, wears that fucking hat thing. But she's a straight up killer.
Yeah.
The only person who could fuck with her is Cyborg or Holly Holm. Because Kat Zingano, there's no way. I think Kat Zingano's ship has sailed. She's kind of getting a little bit seasoned, you know. A lot of injuries and
very emotional. Did you watch the podcast with Rogan?
No, but I saw like her like on the UFC Fight Pass thing. They have a bunch of like biography stuff. And
yeah,
I love watching that and like the Where Are They Now? You know?
Yeah, it's like her husband died.
Yeah, crazy dude.
And she's just got so much. If you listen to her talk, it makes for a really good comeback story. But it's whether or not...
The fight gods don't give a shit about that. This ain't Rocky, you know what I'm saying?
I wish you're they not did. Because if they did, we'd have McGregor right now.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. See, when I fought, I swear to God, dude, I thought there was going to be a point where it was going to be like a movie moment where I would be on the stool ready to get up and just this fucking montage of like things of my childhood and getting bullied and all this bullshit would play and then like, you know, living in the gutter and then like being here... And then none of that happened. None of that fucking happened. It was just all instinct, training, reaction.
Everything is underwhelming. Everything that you think is going to be a big fucking deal is always underwhelming. In my experience, I just can't... The birth of my son, I was like... I was waiting for this... This is
movie
like,
moment. The movie moment never came.
No. You know, I think it's different.
You're going to hold him up and be like...
Like that scene from...
Lion King?
No, the walking... Or walk... Walk Hard with Dewey Cox, right?
Yeah.
The Dewey Cox story where he has the baby and the black guy delivers it and he's shaking the baby and it's made of rubber and it's all juicy and wet and he's trembling. And
that's more like what it was than the wine.
I didn't know what the fuck. They were like, here's your son. I was like, where's my wife?
I was trying to like cry, but I couldn't well up anything.
I didn't know him. I didn't know him. I don't know you.
How am I supposed to love this dude? I just met.
All wet and nasty.
You're so fucking expensive.
I did want to talk about that though. So right now you're 2-0, right?
Yeah. 1-0 MMA, 1-0 kickboxing.
Plan on fighting again?
I get asked that fucking all the time, dude. Because like when you're like fun to watch, if you watch me fight, I do a lot of spinning shit.
Ooh.
I do like a lot of flying knees.
I never got to watch your fights.
Oh my god.
The last I talked to you, you said somebody has a recording where we're gonna work on putting it up or something like that.
I have my kickboxing fight, my MMA fight. You could actually buy both of them. They're online. Because Dead Series has this thing where they set it up. And WCKC is a sister, essentially. It's like under the Dead Series promotion, but it's the kickboxing division.
Okay.
So, I think you can buy both those fights online. You can find them. I think if you Google me or some shit like that, like Google Jason Mullen MMA.
Yeah, usually you got to give those things. Because I remember Googling you, but it was like really soon after.
The only thing that came up was my friend.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh my god.
I saw
my mugshot is on fire.
Is it really?
It was.
I've Googled people before and found their mugshots.
Oh,
might
I looked good, man. I was about 172 at the time.
I did not look good. I think I looked probably sad.
Well, my first one, I probably looked like, you know, Nick Nolte fresh out of prison. But that one, when I went to Ocean County, I was just
shredded.
shredded. I was a 170 coming out. I wish I would have stayed at that weight class because I'd be fighting at 155.
Yeah, what are you fucking fighting at? Middleweight?
Yeah.
No desire to cut weight?
190.
I remember asking you that and you were like, nah.
I'd rather just fucking just hopefully drop this motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're all...
You know what the thing is? I have a long reach. I got a 74 and a half inch reach for my height. That's really good.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
5'10", 5'9".
Okay.
That's for sure. If I'm wearing boots, yeah, probably. But that's like the thing. I have a good long reach, you know, because I used to spar CJ, one of the pros from our channel. He's pro now. He was amateur back then.
Yeah. He's doing work now.
Oh, dude. He's a fucking killer, bro.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
No, last time I think he came in, me and him worked together, and it was a good like little back and forth. But I see that he's fucking holding back and shit. And then he's telling me he's like that's much different than when we used to go. I was like, yeah, before after sparring you, I wouldn't remember where I parked my fucking car.
Yeah.
And now it's like it was a very good like kind of chess match back and forth, and it was actually fun. You know.
I never had that. He was always really nice to me. The skill gap was so tremendous that he's never the type of guy to fucking, whoop your ass for.
Oh, I saw him telling somebody.
Really?
Somebody said some off-the-cuff shit to him about Trump or some shit, and then he just beat the piss out of this dude in the corner of the fucking gym.
I just talked to him before I came here.
I love that.
He went live on Instagram.
Yeah.
I hopped on, we shot the shit.
Yeah.
I said, when am I going to get on the podcast?
Shout out to CJ, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. I did work with him for a little while. We broke windows.
That sounds like a fun fucking job.
It's actually terrible because of the glass and your clothing. It was...
We're moving asbestos off.
Man, what do you call that? Where you go into an abandoned
demolition?
House? Yeah, something like that. Either way.
I think that's actually the exact word for
it. Might
sir.
Be. It's something similar
it's demolition.
To
demolition.
I feel like it was demo.
But
I don't
what
know where
were
you
doing?
Got the second half
demoing
of
demoing things?
Yeah.
That's just short
demolishing.
For demolition.
No, it's demolition. Well, either way...
I remember when I first came in the gym and I saw you. That's
well,
my
I wanna,
first training part.
I want to rewind that because what made you first... Because I know for me it was an ordeal. Going to the gym for the first time.
Yeah.
I was 23 years old and I had some sweet tits.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you get real heavy?
Milky whites.
And you get... Like if you sit down for too long, you get a crease. But not
I
only do you get a
how
crease...
Fat you were, sir.
It's red and it's shiny.
Well, you got to hold your breath to tie your shoes.
Ooh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I was up to about 240. I got on the scale at the fucking Camden Sea Aquarium. And it's like where they weigh seals and shit. And it was fucking 240. I was like, ooh!
Holy
and I wasn't
shit.
Even wearing like a heavy jacket or anything.
Yeah.
Shred of 240 of man meat, bro. So I was like, I gotta do something about it. Well, at the time, I was big into booze. You know, I was a boozer, I was a fucking drugger, I was a whatever you got her, you know.
Yeah.
And what happened is, you know, I quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're fucked up for so long, you know, you don't know what you like. You know, you like getting fucked up.
Yeah.
That's what turns you on, you know. But. I had to figure out who I am and what I want to do. Now, I always was good at fighting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talked shit, you know, and I was watching UFC forever. I always loved martial. I wanted to do... See, you know,
how
like,
long were you into martial... Watching UFC?
For a long time. Since, you know what? Since the Ultimate Fighter show, Chris Leben and everything.
Really?
I started watching it right then, and I've been into it since.
You were early
loved
adopter.
It. Oh, yeah.
I was a sidelines kind of a fan. I didn't hop on the train until late. Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, see, I knew, like, names and shit like that, fighters and everything, and but yeah, so I quit drinking, I always just talk shit about that, we used to have, like, bare knuckle fights in the fucking backyard and shit.
I knew guys who did that,
God, dude,
it was never me.
It was wild. The dude Chavo from our gym knew me, and Chavo was like, Coach Ash was like, you know this guy? He's like, crazy motherfucking white boy, they used to have bare knuckle fights in the backyard.
Coach Ash asked me about you one time,
right?
Now... This is, I think he was like, okay, don't let anybody know that we had this conversation, but it's so far gone, I think.
Oh, here we
go.
He didn't like me.
He was very cautious of you. Everybody was very cautious of you, and this is what I told him. I said, listen, I said, he's been nothing but good to me, because it's absolutely true. You've been more pleasant, kinder, and more generous to me than most of the people that I had met up to that point and since then.
You just made my day.
But... I told him. I said, what I think is happening here is Jay is like a douchebag in recovery. Like, he's no longer a douchebag. Jay was a douchebag.
Well,
and you hadn't even told me anything. I didn't know. I still don't really. But I just looked at you and I was like, is this like a man who was once a motherfucker and now wants to be a sweetheart? That's what I told him. And he was like, yeah, I kind of get that, actually. All right. And then he went on about his day.
Well, honestly, like, I was always like a decent guy. I always tried standing up for like the little guy and shit like that. But I was like fucking kind of dangerous, kind of stupid, you know? And it's funny because if you ask, like, Coach asked to tell the story, he's like, it's one of the funniest stories. You know, he's like, I got a call from this guy, you know. He said he wanted to fight. He said, but he's going to fight next year. He's going to take a year to get into shape.
This is what you said.
This is my first story. Call? Yes. I called him and I was like, I want to start fighting. And then he's like, okay, well, let's get you down here. I was like, no. I need to get into shape first. Then he goes, well, why don't you come? You'll get into shape as you're training. And I was like, no. I want to hit the ground running. Because I just weighed myself on that fucking seal scale over there and shit. So I was like, no, I can't. I'm going to get peppered the fuck up when I go there. So I got into shape. I started doing, like, powerlifting and CrossFit.
Yeah, when you had shown up, you were already kind of balls deep in CrossFit.
Yeah, I was pretty big. They still know me as CrossFit. I don't know CrossFit anymore. Yeah, that's kind of like how I got into shape, and I lost the weight. That, coupled with not drinking anymore and taking care of myself. I was a fat, bloated fucking mess from all the booze and all the fucking whatever, and it's just like that turned me into shit, you know? Yeah. Soft as baby shit. But I was hard like fucking steel after about a year, you know? I was good. I was, you know, running and doing a little bit of HIIT training and then doing CrossFit and stuff. So I did have some kind of platform when I went in there. And sure shit, it was almost a year to day. I went in there.
I'm sorry.
Coach Ash was like, that's you?
I didn't realize what you were saying there. So you called him preemptively a year before you stepped into that
place. Yeah, 1 year.
I thought you had called him and were like, a year from now I want to start fighting, so let's...
No, I called him and told him I was going to be there in a year.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's mildly psychotic.
That is insane.
That is insane.
But that's how I am. I'm fucking nuts, dude. Okay. I got a problem. You see,
right. It is beautiful in here, by the way. I actually didn't even address that. It is clean as shit in here. It's very nice.
It's meticulous. That's how I am, bro. You know what I'm saying? The socks are all folded and shit. All
right, well, that's
that
good.
Guy. But yeah, so I told him I was going to be in there in a year. And sure shit, I did, almost a year to the day. And then I started training. And he's like, well, what do you want out of this? You know, you're doing this for exercise. And I was like, no, man, I want to fight. I want to see what I got, you know? I just talked so much shit and just wanted to see, you know, what I could do, what I actually could do against guys who know what they're doing. And the funny thing about martial arts is it's such a beautiful thing because you see the progression, you can feel the progression, literally on your face.
So, suddenly it's less fucked
it's
up.
It's like you go from getting your ass handed to you to then, you know, holding your own a little bit. You know, then you start putting some decent rounds. And then you become the guy who's kicking a little bit of ass, you know? And everybody's not quick to want to work, you know, spar. Even though you spar light and everything like that, you're a fucking nightmare.
You don't spar light. You know that, right?
I spar fairly light.
Fairly light.
No, it's just something about your face. I have to just punch it so fucking hard.
Definitely not. I don't think you're capable of that.
Dude, last time.
A metric shit ton.
Dude, I'm on another level even from last time. Remember, like, the movement and everything like that?
I just remember...
a lot of punches.
Really wanting to spar with somebody else other than you. That was my main...
What
I
wanted
to
do when you came back was just show you, like, how far... Dude, rolling jiu-jitsu, when me and you were training partners. You're my main sparring partner.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Rolling, striking, everything. Mm-hmm. So,
you were always significantly better at jiu-jitsu than me. I never... And also Muay Thai. Like, you're...
Every time you kick, you fuck your toes up. Every time without
God.
Fail. You would spar, and you would jack your fucking toes up.
I never... You know what it was? It was distance. It was distance. It was to get into the proper range.
Get into that pocket.
Well,
dude.
With you, I'm short.
Yeah.
And
but at the time, we were fucking close in weight.
Yeah, well, I was a bet. I was super
we were in
bet.
The same fucking weight class.
I see some of those pictures, and...
You were fucking...
Oh, my God.
You were bloated.
I was probably... I don't know what my max was, but when I walked in that place, I was 210. I walk around now at like 165.
That's a great weight. Yeah, I'm right around like 195, 198. That's when I walk around.
Yeah, I'd like
and
to
I cut
be...
down to 190 to fight. And then, like, even then, like, I woke up the day of 184. So I could have made, like, 182.
Yeah.
Fight.
I don't ever remember you being overly concerned with cutting weight. That wasn't really...
I gotta watch out. And that's one of the beautiful things about the ketogenic diet is that this keeps me right exactly where I want to be. You know, as long as you adhere to it, like, I stay right at 198. Like, I don't go up a pound, down a pound. I'm just...
I tend to flip. When did you start eating right? Because I remember, I don't know if I was working with you. There was some reason.
Yeah.
Okay, this is when I was helping you at the warehouse.
Went to Dunkin' Donuts.
And you were just bragging about, like, killing entire pizza pies.
Oh, my God. I'm talking about murdering a Scorantino's meatball pie, just 16 slices and shit. And then couple that on top of donuts. Dude, I was taking down donuts like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. Because the thing is, when you fucking quit drinking, your body still wants that sugar.
Yeah.
So you're just...
That was your thing, sugar?
Sugar.
That was your thing?
Oh,
that's my thing. That's my fucking thing.
I fucking love the sweets.
Oh, my God, dude. It's a problem. I actually, during the McGregor fight, you know those extra big bags of mixed chocolates that you would put out for Halloween? You know, with Milk Duds and... Crackle,
gone.
I ate an entire one.
Gone. Dude, I had a whole bag. I'm a ketogenic diet because you gotta watch the sugar and shit. A whole bag of Russell's fucking mixed chocolates. It's got this shit in it. It's like monodextrin something or other. Mm-hmm. But it's got something that dude gave me the most violent diarrhea and farts.
Oh, no.
Bro, you're just blowing hollow, smelly farts where it's like... And just stink. And on the ketogenic diet, it's funny because when you do it, you don't really fart.
Okay.
Think about it.
If I'm strict to my diet, you don't
fart. This, I was blowing hot ass all night, partial watery farts on.
This is just
fucking disgusting.
I found this out
so
because of the ketogenic diet.
So good.
I found out what I can't eat. So in other words, when you
don't...
It's like an elimination diet.
Elimination diet.
So... When I really,
I said it first.
I can't. We said it at the same time. I can't have what do you call them? Legumes, beans.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't have.
You
could have
just
fucking,
said beans. You didn't have to say legumes.
I don't know.
That's like me being. You're such a pretentious piece of shit, yo. That's like me going. I have a problem with nightshades.
Nightshades. I wanted to cover all my
peppers,
bases.
Peppers, asshole.
And
like,
tomatoes. See, you know.
An eggplant.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know. Well,
now you know why I punch you so hard.
What's in the
face?
I never said legume prior to this, all right? So, is a peanut a legume?
Far.
Right fucking here
right
in your beautiful
game
room. Is a peanut a legume? No, right?
I can't
have peanuts either. Not that I have an
allergy. Not that you're allergic.
No, it just, I stop shitting. Just stop.
Oh, dude, if I have too much protein when I'm doing this diet, if I don't get enough fat, I take goat shits. You know, you're
oh, like pebbles.
Yeah. Yeah, the goat shits.
That's where I've been.
It'll give you the goat shits. You gotta increase your fat intake.
When did you stop? I mean, when did you start deciding to be aware of what you were, you know, taking?
After I quit drinking. But because I would cheat. Those
Those were
like once a week treats. I would adhere because my wife, she does like all like the fucking meal prep and everything like that. So like she makes everything, it's all weighed out and everything. And when I'm getting ready for a fight, she does all my dietary everything.
Okay.
She did all my macros for my last fight and everything like that. I fought her tooth and fucking nail.
On every
fucking day, bro. Because at the time, I was doing like 3 a days.
Okay.
So you're doing training in the morning, leaving, coming
you're
back
just
in the afternoon.
Burning, stupid.
Dude, I was eating 3,800 fucking calories to maintain, to not drop too low because there's got to be a sweet spot because I have to come in right at about 190, 189 because when I hydrate up and everything like that, I'm fighting bigger guys, so I got to be bigger by the time I get in there. And it's the same day fight, same day weigh-in.
Your MMA fight was against a man who
shouldn't have been in the ring.
Should not have been in the ring with you. He looked like shit.
Oh, my God.
He did not have...
I felt like that took away from my win.
Eh.
I felt like I'm not even joking around. Like I fucking.
I can see because you want a challenge.
I want.
You probably had harder fights in the gym.
Oh, much harder fights
than
the
with
gym.
That dude.
Oh yeah.
He had the body of Patrick Starr. There was no muscle definition. Everything was just like a refrigerator box with titties, and that was it.
Yeah, and that I felt like that took away from my victory because everybody's like, well, anybody could beat him. But like, well, just because I made it look easy, don't mean he's not gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
he definitely
was like one of their better fighters at the gym because when I dropped his name, somebody was like, oh, Mike Vitale?
I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you were knocked out on a Muay Thai or whatever. So, yeah, he was, like, one of their guys at the gym. Well, fuck a regular guy up, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, when you're fighting another fucking killer. Plus, he was, I just felt like it stole from my victory. So, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to get that back. And the next guy I fought,
I didn't get to see any of that. Tough. I didn't get to see that at all. That was the kickboxing.
Yeah, that dude was tough, man. I mean, kept coming forward. The way that I trained for him, he just took my game plan and crumpled it up and threw it out the window. Because the idea was to pour it on and then coast and then pour it on.
Okay.
He just kept coming forward.
Wow.
So it just, the volume I had to put out was so much more than what I trained for. Even all my, like, strength and conditioning and everything like that, everything I was doing was just, it wasn't in the plan. You know, it wasn't in the playbook.
I have massive regrets when it comes to that gym. Because towards the end there, Coach Ash was training me for Diamond Gloves.
You were looking sharp, man, at the end.
He was putting in resources to me, and he was taking all this time, and I ended up moving away, and I had to move in like 2 weeks, and I lived like an hour away, so.
Yeah, burn.
So all these excuses.
Yeah.
Drive back.
Oh my God. That, I remember, didn't you lie to him and say that you got into an accident or some shit like that?
No, I think I got into a stupid-ass accident. Oh, no, I did. My buddy...
Oh, that was legit?
Yeah.
Oh, because he thought it was just coincidental.
Somebody smashed into the back of my boy's car when we were going kayaking. And it was supposed to be this whole thing. I don't know. My boy got a huge settlement from that. It was a big deal. He had to go to therapy and shit. I didn't chase it because it involves going to physical therapy all the fucking time.
And I think it's if you're training and lifting and doing.
But no, because I think it happened. But I think ultimately what happened was.
Boy, should have broke you off a piece, bro.
That dude smashed. It was some dude in a work truck too. He smashed into the back of us. We were going kayaking. It happened right over here on Amboy Avenue, right next to my old little shitty apartment.
Yeah,
like right fucking there.
I remember that place.
In hindsight, it all feels like excuses. Because...
Of course.
People, you know, in my mind, people do harder things than commuting. You know what I mean? I go, oh, it was hard. It feels, to me, feels fucked up.
If it didn't feel right, dude, that's the fucking universe telling you should just not be taking that fight. Because I was actually slated to fight again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that same fucking day that I took the fight, I shot in for a real hard fucking double on Mike at the gym. And he kind of fucking olayed me. And we were supposed to be, like, working cage work. But you know how our cage is right against the fucking wall?
Yeah.
So I just did this.
Nice.
This fucking...
Right into the fucking drywall in the cage.
Right into the wall, dude. He straight up... You remember that scene in Pineapple Express where he's like, this ends now! And he fucking... That is exactly what happened.
Is that where he... Oh, no, I'm thinking something else.
Where fucking Seth grabs Danny McBride and just drills him into the fucking
sheetrock?
That's exactly how that played out. So,
you know...
And then Coach Ash was just like, this is just not... He's like, he didn't really seem too enthusiastic about it. Mm-hmm. When he took it, he's like, so maybe this is just the universe telling you,
not to
take this one.
I just I feel like I owed him and myself at least to, you know what I mean, to have seen that through, because to this day it still fucks with me. I know he doesn't hold
it. It's not too late, you know. You're still a young man.
Oh,
I got into the fight game at 30 years old.
It's not that I don't think I would go into an MMA fight or anything like that. I don't want to get my bell rung for free. I might do a jiu-jitsu tournament.
I got paid. I got $250.
Did you really?
I got $250.
Oh. I thought it was all Diamond Gloves doesn't pay you.
No, fuck no.
Yeah, they don't.
You're cattle.
That's like
bro.
Olympic.
You're cattle. They're just sitting, fucking getting you guys in there, getting you guys out.
Yeah, that still fucks me up though, man. It was like, you know, it's not an easy thing to dump all the resources into somebody. And like I said, even though I was moving and all this shit, I could have fucking commuted. I could have stuck to my diet. What I was really worried about was being able to meal prep and shit and cut the weight. Because when you're packing a truck and going back and forth a shit ton of times during the
week. You were pretty close to being on weight, though. You lost a substantial amount of weight there. You were, like, down to about, what, 155 or something?
No, that was my goal.
What do you mean, bro?
Yeah, I was, like, maybe 165 at the lowest.
That's no
bad.
No, it's not. It was only
cut. Like
I could have done that in water weight.
Yeah, for sure.
Know. I didn't know that at the time. Craxton kind of explained that to me because I wasn't too familiar with it. But
I cut weight. Yeah.
Did you You didn't really have to cut.
No, I cut.
Did you cut water weight?
2 weeks out.
You do like I didn't have to cut like the day of. Mm-hmm. I took everything the day before. So basically, you break a real good sweat.
Yeah.
Either a sauna or bike or doing some like grappling or something like that. Layer up, sweat it out, and then you just pretty much fast the day before. And that cut, honestly, just that right there cut 5 pounds off.
Are you doing intermittent fasting with this diet?
I was for a little while, but because I like my coffee with cream, bro. You know?
Yeah, I drink black coffee every morning.
I was big into black coffee.
I don't like it. I just fucking do it.
I mean, I like it because, I mean, I'm a man, and I feel like we're supposed to drink our coffee black.
It turns my teeth fucking yellow.
Oh,
it turns your teeth yellow. It's nasty.
Fucking tinge.
Yeah, I brush my teeth like 3 times a day now. No, not anymore. It's done. It's all gone.
See, before I used to fall asleep with a fucking slice of pizza and a beer bottle in my mouth, and now I'm like, I need to brush my teeth. I gotta get up and brush my teeth. You know?
Yeah,
I'm an indoor house cat, bro. I'm an indoor cat now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you were
pampered, living a pampered lifestyle.
Oh my god.
In this beautiful home.
Dude, if you were to give me my old life, I wouldn't know whether to shit or go blind.
Yeah.
If you were like Jay, you're looking at like some time in jail. And now you're like Jay, you're looking at like. You got a flat tire. I'll just get fucking anxiety. I'll be like, oh my god, I gotta get to work.
I gotta
take this thing to Pet Boys. I'm a shell of the person that I used to be.
Weird how that all changed.
That's right.
At some point, it's time to be.
It's time to be. I was an alley cat for some time.
You know, I remember. Do you remember the day? I don't know if you were there when Coach Ash snapped shit because he was insisting that he wanted to see some forward head movement. You remember this day?
Oh my god.
It was like everybody's sparring and he's yelling.
I think that was even directed at Efren.
It might have been. I know
fucking
it wasn't.
Fucking head movement. Forward fucking head movement.
And he stopped. Every once in a while.
Could have been when he was cutting weight though. Because when he cuts weight.
He gets fucking aggro.
He gets a little pissed.
I remember.
I walk on eggshells.
Yeah, I remember sparring with him and he kicked me in the ribs and aired me out. And I didn't react. You know, I winced, but I kept, you know, I didn't stop.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay, good. You're not a bitch. You know? I was like, all right, great, man.
I mean, his shins are made of something else, you know. They're made of, like, fucking iron.
Yeah.
You can just, he's just an animal.
It's funny to watch him go from forward fucking head movement to teaching the children's class.
Oh, he's great with kids.
He is. Yeah. He is. You would never know that he's an actual monster.
He's a fucking killer. Dude, you touched on that with your last podcast, or the podcast before, rather, with Mikojo Life. Like, there are guys walking around who are fucking killers, and you do not know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's funny you mentioned that, because you mentioned the Steven Seagal thing, a guy who's a professional fighter. He's 130 pounds or something like that. And the guy was like 230. He's looking in fucking trouble.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like, see, that's why I like where I'm at.
Are you about to tell me you fuck up Steven Seagal?
I will fucking jack Steven Seagal. I'm 200 fucking pounds.
He's
fucking matter how tall he is, bro.
Just double leg onto his neck.
I will dump him onto his fucking painted on hairline, bro.
Yeah, he's going balls deep in the jet black.
That leg, that's my leg. I'm taking that leg.
This is my leg.
I'm taking that fucking leg.
I don't know. He's pretty good with the keto. He might put you on your neck, bro.
With what? His mind?
Just the fucking
his mind powers?
Just a good, you know, just with an underhook and a swoop.
Oh my god, dude. I would beat him to fucking death. Because all I gotta do, even if, let's say, he had a little something for me, an answer, all I gotta do is just get him for about 2 minutes. And then he's gonna be breathing like
and then
it's a wrap.
I'll give you that.
The only thing that it'll be hard to get a hold of him because he's so sweaty and greasy.
Yeah, well, that's an actual defense mechanism.
I think actually, didn't I sweat in your mouth one time? I dropped sweat. Was that in your mouth or was Mike? I know I did it to one of you guys.
I know that I also dropped sweat from my beard into somebody's mouth. I think it was Afnan.
Oof.
I think I sweat right into Afnan's mouth.
That's okay.
And then I tried to stop, and then Coach Ash was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I sweat in his mouth. And he was like, I don't give a fuck. And I was like, all right, man. No problem.
That sounds about right. Some crazy shit happened in that gym. I got hit so hard one time by CJ, I called timeout.
I got a fucking concussion, and I called timeout. And they were like, yo, do you remember what the fuck you said when CJ hit you with that shovel up again? I was like, no, man, I don't remember driving home. And then they were like, you called timeout, sir. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, did I get the T? And they were like, yeah, dude, you did. You gave the big T with the gloves and everything. It was just... He's like,
big time out.
I didn't think he was going to hit me that fucking hard.
CJ is a motherfucker, man. He's
I owe him. Well, the thing is, that day, I think me and him were grappling. I choked him the fuck out like 3 times.
I remember grappling with CJ and ending up in side control on the floor, and I knew zero jiu-jitsu, and you're over me screaming, Kimura! Kimura! Get him in a... And I'm going, what's a Kimura? And I'm just laying on top of him with all my weight, and
you
can't get up.
You might as well be speaking, man.
I had nothing to fucking do there.
I don't know what you're fucking saying.
You know, you just mentioned the oblivious tough guys. Having been going to the gym for as long as you have, I'm sure you've seen your fair share of dumbasses walk in there
with
this completely delusional idea of what goes on in there.
Funny story is that I saw this one kid who was legit. He was pretty legit. He actually learned how to fucking box on YouTube. He came in and he was like one of those freaks, dude. Where like, you're like, where did this guy come from? And you ask him, where did you come from? I learned everything on YouTube. Oh, shit. And he was tall and he was long. He was very, like, almost mirror image of CJ. Very tall, long fighter, light, you know? Perfect. Perfect fucking size for a fighter. Because he's big, but he's thin, and he's still powerful.
Okay.
And he had skill. He had abilities. He fucking fundamentals, very good. He wound up actually knocking out one of the new guys. And Coach Ash got up and his ass was like, yo, those guys pay my fucking bills.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can't just be leveling these fucking guys who have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like you, how you said the other day, like, you know, I don't even got a puncher's chance against this killer, the guy who trains you.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily true. You hit like a ton of fucking bricks. You could.
I just want to interject for a moment. I wish there was a way for you to meet this motherfucker. For a while, he was number 3 in New Jersey. And I don't know if he was blowing smoke up my ass. I believe the living shit out of this man. He was made of nobody in the gym. He's fought Wonder Boy. Fought all these big names. You know, he's trained with them. And
I sparred with the guy who Mickey Gall just beat. George, whatever his name is.
Was that Rear Naked?
Yeah. You know what I got him with when we were sparring?
What?
A Rear Naked choke.
Did you really?
I did.
And before
we
went
out,
rude, bro.
Dude, before we went out there, like before I got to my fight and everything like that, you know, nerves start setting in, and then Coach Ash is like, "Jay, you're a fucking animal. You choked out a fucking UFC fight." Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know how hard he was going, but I mean, like, you know, he was a beast. He was fucking huge, and I was like, "What do you fight at?" He's like 170. I was like, "How do you get down to 170? What do you chop a fucking leg
Some
off?"
Some people, right, are just. That they handle it better.
Yeah.
As far as the weight cutting goes.
Oh, yeah. You know, the bodies are more just apt. Or
I don't. I hold on to every single piece of chocolate that I've eaten in the past 3 months.
It's like Big Daddy, bro. When I was your age, I could eat whatever I want. Now I have a chocolate shake. My ass jiggles for like a week.
Exactly.
That's exactly it, bro.
So do you see a lot of these a-holes kind of come and go?
Some? Yeah. You get some guys in there who are... they want to see what it's about, you know? And then... you have some guys in there that think, they were tough guys in the street, you know, and that would somehow transition over well into this. This is a fucking, like, you're talking about a guy who has no fucking, like, no, like, bar. He's got no point of reference for how good somebody could actually be.
Yeah.
And in the street, you're going to see a lot of pullback and haymakers. And when you have a guy who's literally chin forward, slip, blah, 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 and just combinations and punching you in the liver, which they don't, you don't see many body shots
in
the
street.
No,
not in the streets. Nope,
but dude,
don't.
I put more guys down with body shots than I have anything else.
I've only ever sustained the one from Coach Ash. It was unfucking believable. The pain was, like, unreal.
It's like you can't catch your breath kind of.
No, you
like,
can't breathe all the way in. Yeah. It just won't happen. Something's constricting your lungs. It's
funny you said that because I kind of, antiquated jiu-jitsu for anybody who's never rolled. Because, like, you have, like, a guy who might have been, like, tough or whatever, could throw some hands. Sir, somebody gets you down and they know what they're doing, it's like having a fucking anaconda on
you.
Because when you have no clue what you're doing, the only like correlation I can make to that would be drowning. Like, trying to swim, drowning.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, no matter how hard you do it, you're not going to be able to not fucking drown, you know? And it's like, oh, I think I got my head up. You drag right back down.
I told you, or I didn't tell you, I actually said, did you hear it on the podcast when I remember describing my first day of jiu-jitsu?
I heard it, but
So I don't remember who was there. All I know is that it was Gi, and Coach Ash let me have a loner.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the drills, you know, and then it was partner up for live roll. Did the first one, felt like I was going to fucking die. Did the second one, things are getting real bad. Third and fourth one, I felt like I was actually going to fucking die. So when it's all over, it's middle of winter.
Yeah.
I've got giant sweaty tits. I'm soaked completely. And I'm making a beeline for the door.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was Gil. Gil was like, hey, don't go out yet. It's cold. You're sweating. You know, cool down a little bit before you head out there. It'll be too much. I said, and I just went through the fucking doors. I stumble outside, and it's fucking, I see my breath. There's snow on the ground. I run over
steam
to my Buick.
Coming off my body. I remember that Buick.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. I get into the Buick. I fucking lay across the bench seating. I put the windows down and put the AC on, and I'm
crying.
Well, I'm thinking I'm fucking gonna die. This is my, in my mind, I'm like,
totally,
oh,
it's like drowning.
Yeah, it's I thought 100% I needed to go to the hospital. I knew I could not drive to the hospital, and was also not willing to go in there and ask for an ambulance. So I was like,
in that moment.
I decided to die on my front seat in the parking lot of Lionheart MMA. I was like, this is where everything ends. Whatever happens next, it's happening in this seat, and I'm laying here.
I can only imagine that it looks something similar to like when a guy catches fire in a movie and he's fucking stumbling out the door.
That's exactly what happened.
Just engulfed in flames.
And that last fucking, when your lungs collapse and you go, and it's a terrible sound. That was me laying across, AC on, windows down.
No need for the AC on. It was no.
I was confused. I
don't even think confusing. That Buick had AC.
It had, something would happen. It smelled terrible.
Well, you
cranked that bitch out.
Probably
it's
dead.
Oh, every 70-year-old that drove that was fucking powderized and coming out of my...
Oh my God, dude.
It was... It gives me... Just thinking about it now, it makes me want to, like, I breathe deep.
You get anxiety talking about it.
Oh, I can do this right now. Because I couldn't breathe at all when I was doing that. But there's, you know, when I was going for the first time to MMA. Prior to that, I thought I was a fucking tough guy. I thought I
had
all
these... As did we all. Turns out I was, though.
Well, you were a fucking gangster pretty close to walking in, bro. Like, I remember...
Told you, give me a year.
It's amazing that you,
dude,
sat down for a year and were like, I'm gonna fucking get in. Yeah. I can't set long-term goals.
That's
so thing. To me, you're blowing me away right now.
That's the thing with, like... That's one of my, like... keys to success, but
all right.
Like I just I set these goals for myself, very attainable, like little short term goals.
Yeah,
that was a big long term goal. Because like I said, when I quit like booze and everything like that, I had fucking dude, I didn't have a driver's license.
Yeah,
I had to get a driver's license, but I also had like 12 fucking warrants on my arrest that I had to clear up and get like all, dude, it was insane. So I had to set these like little goals for myself. To like, okay, I reached that one, now on to the next one, you know? And even like with jiu-jitsu, like I was like, okay, let me do this. I got my blue belt, you know? It's just like little goals, you know? And if you just stay on them, I see when people make these New Year's resolutions, it's just so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to just fucking see that through all the way to the end. Like, I'm going to lose 150 pounds.
And
like,
that's your thing that you write down.
Yeah.
Not the little things. Yeah.
Why don't we do something small, like cut out soda for a week? Some shit like that, you know, like so you actually build your confidence with these like little short term goals instead of making these grandiose fucking things.
Yeah.
And then it's taking forever to see it through, then you lose confidence, and then eventually shit just gets put off.
Whereas if you set the little goals,
you
at least get the gratification of striking that off the list, you know.
Well, fighting, that was my goal. Like I wanted to fight, and I got into the cage in about starting January, February. I got in there September, so we're talking like 9 months of training, and then I got thrown into the cage.
Yeah.
you know, and it wasn't thrown in, like, I wanted to go, you know, but Coach Ash is very particular about who he throws in there, and if he didn't feel like I was ready, you know, he would never put you in there. His job is to keep you safe, you know.
That, going to that gym was arguably one of the best decisions of my entire life, because it taught me.
It changed my life.
Yeah.
It completely changed my life.
Like, I'm so fucking annoying, because anything that I do,
You are.
Well, I tell you, I go to people and I immediately tell them, like, you should do this. Because anything that I experience that's good, I can't.
But your game plan doesn't necessarily work for everybody. And that's what I had to find out.
Yeah.
Because when, like, see, I quit drinking and doing all that cold fucking turkey. Like, I just stopped. I just had I went a real bad binger one day, and I fucking looked at my wife and I was like, yo, I'm done. And she's like, kind of heard that before. And I was like, no. If I don't stop, this shit is going to kill me. You know, I'm going to fucking die. I'm not going to live to see 30, you know? So I just stopped, you know? And then, like, my formula for success and, you know, staying sober and shit, I didn't need the fucking 12 steps or Jesus Christ. I didn't need any of that.
Yeah.
You know? And I just, you know what? I honestly needed, probably was like martial arts. I swear to God. I really think it like fucking saved my life. It gave me purpose, and that's something I haven't had in a long time. And it like let everything else that goes on seem just kind of like minimal, trivial.
Yeah. So well, when you come back after, you know, basically you walk in the door and you're a giant steaming bag of useless shit and you can barely lift your arms. Everything kind of just is less of a big fucking deal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
You get your ass whooped.
And I'll tell you, man, the thing about, like, these gyms and everything like that, like, there are some guys who are beautiful, welcoming, sweet men, like Gil, you know?
Oh,
very
my God.
Welcoming with open arms,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you got guys like Craxton. Craxton didn't say hello to me for a very long time.
Yeah, I did.
You had to earn his respect, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about a seasoned fighter. He fought a bunch of times, got a bunch of fights on his record, a bunch of...
And
you
he's
know,
seen a bunch of people
grapples.
Come and go.
Yeah, so
there.
He's not quick to lend you a hand or, you know, be overly
It was a long
friendly.
Time before he communicated with me.
Now he's my boy.
I've only ever tried to fight Craxton twice, and try to fight is the exact description.
I could
not do any fucking thing to Craxton. Like, you know, the name of the game was, for me, it's like, getting close. Use like the Mike Tyson fucking, you know, head movement and then overhand rights and shit like that. Cause he's all the way up here compared to me.
He's giant.
No. Just sticking me in the face with the meanest fucking jabs I've
Push
ever felt in my life.
Right across the fucking gym.
Whereas, Gil is like,
let me show you what you're doing wrong, little brother.
Yeah.
Just
I remember
the sweetest human being.
After I broke my fucking toes or whatever I did,
trying
to, you know, attempting to do Muay Thai, I couldn't use my right leg. And that's, you know, I'm orthodox, so it's my back leg. And I'm doing Muay Thai with Gil. He's my light sparring partner. Gil is built like a fucking actual bear.
Like a linebacker in the NFL. He's a fucking monster. For anybody who doesn't know who we're talking about, this gentleman is approximately 6'1".
782.
Just a fucking monster.
You're giving, like... Gigantopithecus.
He's a big dude.
He's about, at the time, I think he was about 265.
Okay.
He's a heavyweight pro, undefeated mixed martial arts.
Will never stop smiling. Constantly smiling.
Sweetest human being I ever met. And he will straight up rip your head off your body. If he wanted to.
It's unbelievably strong. And I remember, like I said, back foot is damaged. All I've got is this front foot. And I'm doing this, like, as he's coming forward and he's putting all his weight on his front foot. I just got enough. To kind of kick it out from him, right? And he would go to step on that front foot, but I would kick it out, and so he would immediately go into this wide stance, and he'd almost, you know, stumble over. And he was so excited that I did that to him. He was so happy that I did that to him. He stopped, and he was like, oh my God! And I was like, thank you, dude!
You're doing it, little man!
Oh,
you're doing
God.
It!
Oh my God, he makes
that's
you feel...
That's my mijo!
See, that's... To have that experience...
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to go to the gym and have that, but I got to have awesome people, including this giant fucking dude who was genuinely happy to see your progress. I talked about that in with the episode with Robert McDojo. It was like I was lucky enough to have these people who genuinely wanted to see you do better. I remember my last fight in the gym. No, actually, my last fight in the gym was with that fucking dude and the
Oh, you beat the shit out of him.
That was my last fight. But before
you beat
that,
the shit out of
that was a whole
dude.
Different thing.
That dude tried recording it because he thought he was going to fuck you
I
up.
I didn't like
I was
his...
like, oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't like what his boy did to our buddy Afnan, because Afnan's like a nice fucking dude.
Oh, I rolled his boy the fuck up.
That guy was an
He
asshole.
Was trashing everybody, remember? And then you were like, what are you doing walking around like with your arms crossed? I'm like, oh, I'm just biding my time.
Because
I'm going to roll this European motherfucker up.
And I remember you saying something like, he was like, okay. Like I think he had some wrestling or something.
Yeah, he's a good wrestler.
Yeah,
but motherfucker leaves his arm out in space and I have to choke him out.
But before that, my last fight was Efren. And
good luck. The Mexicanian.
I worked him. I genuinely worked him.
Efren is going to hear this.
Oh,
he's going to kill
Efren would murder the shit
out
of me right now.
Oh, he beat your face.
But
off.
This was when I was training for Diamond Gloves.
Yeah.
So,
it's a long time far away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right now, Efren would
Dude, he's the 135-pound champ right
his
now.
His cardio?
For Dead Serious and for Ring of Combat. 135 champ.
I took his back once, and I gassed out trying to choke him. I choked him. I got him in what I thought was a perfect rear naked choke. And he
and you're
literally,
just like, I fucking got
yeah,
him.
And he's like stuffing his neck up. And I'm like on his back, hooks in. I'm and I literally was like,
Efren, I will kill you.
And the round ended with Efren in my guard, ready to fuck me up. And the buzzer went off. And I was like, I can't fucking believe. I've never been in a situation where I had a perfect choke on somebody. And I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I could not.
I remember the last time we rolled.
You probably wrapped the shit out of me. Like, there was just.
I remember vividly because you were like, how did you get so good? And I was like, I stayed burned.
See, that's a bummer to me is to watch all you got. But it's not a bummer. It's beautiful to see all the good things
that
are happening.
Been,
there.
You could have been.
It wasn't
really
happen.
Like a what could have been.
Yeah. You know? I had to move, though. There was no way. And there's no way to. I'm not commuting an hour and 10 minutes to go to the fucking gym.
But you're always Lionheart for life, bro.
Well, I like that even though I wasted Coach Ash's fucking time, that he still welcomes me in any time. And,
still
loves a good man.
That's the way he is, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He's a good guy.
Beautiful soul.
I remember there was a dude, I thought I could say his name, but it wasn't his name. It was like, they called him A-Train. Do you remember him?
I remember a guy named, like, Hacksaw or some shit like that. Or
maybe I'm fucked up. He's a big,
tall, long
like
guy.
Like, Middle Eastern dude.
Is he the kid that farted in Gil's face and almost and made Gil throw up?
No, I didn't know that happened.
Oh, my God.
What are we talking about
the
here?
The dude is named, like, I don't know, like Bonesaw or some shit like that.
All right.
They used to call him.
All right.
Matter of fact, I got my very first submission on him, dude. And remember, I got
He's
up
tall
and I was
skinny.
Like, yes.
Yes, tall and skinny. Yeah, yeah.
And I got up and I was like, yeah! And then Coach Ash came over to me. He's like, Jay. He's like, I know you're excited because you pulled off your first submission. It was a triangle. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And he goes, but as good as you feel right now, the other guy feels equally as terrible.
Yeah,
so you might like, want to keep the emotion in. And I was like,
I never.
I'm sorry, coach. It's crazy when you learn something and then you apply it.
Yeah.
It's like it's such a cool thing.
I remember when I was.
I can't give birth,
but if
I
could.
Get it because. I can submit people.
With a triangle. It's a kind of a stretch.
I really don't think there's much of a difference.
All right.
Triangles and babies.
It's very similar.
Same fucking
same
thing.
Wheelhouse.
It's right there.
I remember that dude, A-Train. There was some kids.
Sure, it's A-Train?
Let's make up his name is A-Train.
Let's
just call
it's
that.
A-Train.
It's A-Train or B-Train, whatever. So he is, I don't know if he had just finished sparring. All I know is some of the kids were now old enough to be in the adults class, but it was like their real early classes.
Yeah.
And they came up and they were tagging him and playing with him.
Yeah.
And he suddenly just stood up straight and just jarred him. Snapped their little heads back.
Fucking A-Train.
So I walk over, and as soon as I do that, one of the other kids, like a third one, comes over and jumps on his back. And suddenly it de-escalates into this silly thing.
Yeah.
But you could tell by looking at the kids' faces, like they got their bell rung a little bit.
Yeah.
So I go to Coach Ash and I'm like, listen, just keep an eye on him. And he's like, why? I'm like, you know, he's kind of getting a little weird with the kids or whatever. And he's like, what do you mean getting weird? I'm like, you know, he kind of.
Wait a second. I know exactly who you're talking about. He kind of had like a crazy eye kind of
thing.
Yeah,
because he was kind of crazy.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He wasn't all there. He wasn't working with a full deck.
Yeah,
there was something going
you
on.
You beat him up. You and him got into it in the corner by the speed bag.
we started over there and ended up like on the other side.
I remember
because I just had him pedaling back.
Definitely not A Train, but
it's not A Train.
Not fucking A Train. All
right, well, A Train for sure. It was A Train. So he
it's a short for asshole. Train.
Yeah, dude, he was. I don't think he was working with a full.
No, band, I saw he had like the D-bone eyes, like the oh shit, like when you see a dog and you just know it's like. There's something wrong with that fucking dog.
He and I got into it because he swung on me so fucking hard.
Yeah.
And he missed, but the Velcro on his glove like scraped the shit.
I remember that
thing.
Yeah.
So we start going at it, and CJ's there, and CJ's like, "Yo, what's going on?" It was in between rounds, and I like walk away from him, and I just point at my face, like it's fucking all red and scraped up. And CJ's like. And that was pretty much it. And after that, I had him on his back foot all the way across the fucking. I started clobbering him.
Yeah, I remember.
But I think it might have been that day. Whatever. Gets into it with the kids. I tell Coach Ash he, you know, drags Adam because I didn't want to say like it sounds harsh to be like he dinged a kid, but that's what happened. But I didn't want to. I just wanted to be like watch him.
He's a kid puncher.
He's a kid puncher. Watch out for that guy. Right? So I tell him. Eventually, it comes out, and Coach goes, "Okay." That dude never came back after that.
He killed him.
I don't know if we want to say all that, but Coach Ash beat the from what I understand, kept him after hours when everybody was gone and beat the brakes off of him. That's the story that I heard. That looks like bread to me, though.
No, it's keto cornbread, bro.
See,
for those of you who didn't see, because we're not doing a video, you can't see anything.
One day I will.
But it's, he's, fucking, Dave is actually eating right now.
I'm sorry, it's fine. That's amazing.
It's fucking delicious.
That's amazing.
It's keto cornbread, bro. Keto chili.
I've just been on a planet where I can't have sweets and corn. I mean, and bread. Like, I see you have...
But you could have stevia, though, on the ketogenic diet.
To me, it was easier because I'm not really keen to all the details and the nutritional...
See, I got my black belt on this shit.
Not me. I eat hard-boiled eggs and kale every day because I'm too stupid to figure out what the rest...
Sounds fucking gross.
I'm so used to it now, it doesn't even matter. Black coffee... Hard-boiled eggs and kale.
Oh,
every
God.
Day. Every day.
You need to...
But I know that I'm missing
yourself
some...
up.
I'm missing some nutritional...
You're missing flavor.
I'm missing minerals and...
You need the multivitamin, bro. You're going to get scurvy. You have no vitamin C in your diet?
I have a peach every now and again.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, you're not going to get scurvy, then.
I had grapes today.
There you go. Vitamin C coming at you.
But yeah, that was kind of a testament to Coach Ash. It was like a nice guy... one of the best people that I've known, and if you fuck, with him the wrong way,
he'll
beat the brakes off.
He's the salt of the earth. He's one of the most genuine. Like what he does for everybody, and he never asks fucking nothing in return.
Yeah,
he's a great guy, man. Yeah. I anything he ever needed, man, I got him.
I
doctor that.
I would love to get him on that podcast one day.
You should.
I've gotten some.
That's a martial artist. You're talking to a fucking a meathead fighter.
Yeah.
But when he's on,
it's a whole nother level.
He's a martial
of shit.
Artist.
He Palestinian? I don't want to fuck that up.
I think so. I don't know. I don't want to fuck it up either.
Yeah. Well, wherever he's from, he told me some stories. I'm not gonna open him up on the podcast, but he's seen some shit.
You gotta have him on so he could tell. Like he's got an amazing story too, bro. He's got a fucking Rocky-like return back to the ring story, like. He's got some crazy stories he could tell you about fights and stuff like that he's had.
That guy, Tim Lucky, he knows his guilt. Because the MMA world's so small. They're old buddies. Lucky. He feels like a chimp. So you got Kratom.
I do.
What the fuck is that?
Well, basically, it's a natural pain reliever. Like, between fighting and between my job, I beat the shit out of my body. And I was just coming in, and because I don't I don't take any fucking drugs or anything like that,
I'm getting old. How old are you?
34 right now. But look at this, bro. I keep myself young looking because.
Look about 33 and a half.
Proper diet, man.
44 and a half. Alright, so.
Speaking of looking, what the fuck is up with your picture on where I. Oh. You look like a 1990s Latin homosexual. Hair salon owner, bro.
I thought I looked skeptical. That was it. That was all I was going for. I was
you look like a 1990s really? Hair salon owner.
I got that.
And you
for
listen
$5.
To nothing but 103.5 all day.
I had a cardigan on, so yeah. I got that done for $5.
It looks like it. Yeah.
It looks like it.
looks like.
I thought it was great.
Oh my god.
I'm trying to be official, all right? I want it to look right way.
You're catering to the homosexual demographic.
Well, there's a lot of them out there, and if they want to be on my team,
there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
That you got a headshot.
I'm not saying it suck dick, but if the headshot looks like it.
But if I get that Joe Rogan bump, I'd suck a little dick.
Suck a little dick. I forgot what they were talking about today on Fighter and the Kid. It was Harvey Weinstein and one of the women who accused him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just exposed that she received gratuitous amounts of cash to suck him off.
Yeah, which we always talk about. It's like, how much would it take for you to suck a dick?
Somebody at work.
Everybody starts at right about $1 million.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you got to tell the guy, be like, dude, I'll do it, but if you're fucking, I mean, I'm going to be, you got to get me a specific kind of guy, because I'm going to be crying and throwing up.
I prefer
so
like
you gotta,
a black sheep from the waist up. I don't want to look at him.
He's going to have to make eye contact. That's got to be a part of it.
Also.
Now, if he's a head grabber,
it's gotta, ooh, no,
like
no,
me,
no.
If he's a head grabber like me, I'd be like, no, no.
No, that's too much. That's too powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we're
too aggressive.
Yeah,
it's too aggressive.
In the back of my throat, I'm going to walk away with strep. yeah, I think. It starts. Somebody at work was like, oh, let me ask you this. Would you suck a dude's dick or let him bang you in the ass, something like that, for $500 million? What the fuck? Are you kidding me? I would celebrate that.
We would do both if we want.
Do whatever we want.
Him and
bro.
Any three of his friends.
How long are we talking about? Are we talking about like a weeks long retreat or something? Because $500 million is a fucking game.
It's a fucking marathon.
If you had
him and his three closest friends,
$500 million. Bro, why would you even fuck? I would tell. And if anybody ever asked, I'd be like, got fucked in the ass for this money.
But you did.
And then I'd throw a stack in their face.
I know.
And I'd be like, how many more stacks I gotta throw so I can fuck you in the ass?
You probably do a
just
lot less
throwing
than
stacks.
Yeah.
I think it's a different world, right? Because you go, oh, a million, until they start throwing stacks of 1,000 at you.
Oh, you see what like?
Yeah, you're holding.
Shit, you see what 150k looks like in cash?
And it's heavy when it hits you in the face.
I've seen it.
What, 150k in cash?
160,000. I've seen
Christ.
That shit, and it is glorious,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Now you're still holding that money, and you're like, oh, fuck
yeah, because
I
said,
wouldn't
like,
do
yeah.
it. I'd be like, no fucking way. But because that's gonna. I mean, I don't need it now. You see what? You see how?
Oh, you're living the life of luxury. I like the Tyson.
Yeah.
You
no.
should do a podcast.
I got
out
that
of here.
From China. What's up?
You should do a podcast right out of here. You do a video podcast. You sit in a chair right fucking there. This is a dope setup.
Why don't we just do this like? Guest spot on yours. I'll piggyback on your success.
Absolutely.
That's what
Absolutely.
I'm saying. I feel like this is going very well. This is futuristic AM radio.
I
futuristic AM radio. That's what we're doing.
I'm right having here. Like weird success in it, and people are telling me like, oh, it's good. I like you have a good voice for it. Da da da. I'm like, I ain't doing shit.
Just talking.
Literally just talking.
Just
I'm doing
shit.
Nothing at all. I work my ass off at work as a welder. Work my ass off. And then, you know, people, yeah, you're a good welder, and that's nice to hear. But when I do this,
yeah.
and I'm just bullshitting, and somebody goes, you got a good voice for this, and I like the show, it's actually really good.
What if that was your voice, though?
That'd be awesome. I should
roll
with that.
Like Kermit the fucking Frog.
Kermit the Frog here. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was pretty solid.
I
don't
think I've ever
done
a Kermit the Frog impression. This is fucking slamming, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mm.
You know what the thing is, dude? It's like, as long as you're, like, a little interesting and a little funny and everything, I think anybody could really do this. But this is also going to show people either A, you are good at something like this, or B, you're bad at it, and then what does that do for you? You know? Because it's like stand-up comedy. It's like everybody's like, Jay, you're a funny dude. Could I put some shit together and go on stage?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm a funny guy in conversation. There's a difference between funny in conversation
yeah.
and funny like, well, you know, my wife, and, you know, I don't know about that, you know?
I think that what I said on the McDojo podcast about how martial arts has shown me that there's a methodology to learning a skill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a formula to learning a skill. And it's like, I hate to just regurgitate shit that Rogan has said. Rogan has a quote, and I think it's from like the book of Byron Rogan. I hate it. That's about basically, you don't ever want to just be a shitty version of
something. You just
got to
buff up a little bit, though.
Oh, God, no. Because then I'm just, and then just buzz it all off.
And eventually, just let it go.
So, he has this quote from, I think it's either the Book of Five Rings or The Art of War, where it says something about, once you know the way broadly, you see it in all things. And I don't really know what
that... I heard you drop that on the last one.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
What it means to you.
Is, once you understand that there's a formula to learning, you see that formula in everything.
Yeah.
I use boxing to teach me how to weld.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that stand-up comedy would be very similar. The fundamentals. You take the jokes. You write the jokes. You practice them over and over and over and over again. You say them in a bunch of different cadences. You, you know, go to open mics. You get comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. I'm having a stand-up comedian on Tuesday. I'm not even having him on. I'm going to his show and doing a podcast with him before he does his show.
See, I was in the company of a stand-up comedian a couple months back. It's one of my wife's friends. Least funny guy ever. I was murdering. I was slaying. Him? Nothing.
There's a difference.
But the thing is, it's not, it's like, it's kind of like, alright, dance for me, Rummy. You
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You don't want to fucking do that.
I've heard
you know?
A lot of
but,
people
but,
say that.
But you're just like, you're not very funny. Like, I mean.
It's kind of weird, right? Because there's a pressure to be funny after you've been funny on stage. If you're
I'm sure.
Stage
I mean,
comedian.
It's probably the same thing as, like, being a fighter. There's probably a pressure for you to, like, you know,
be the tough
situation
guy,
arises. You're yeah. the tough guy. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm the fucking, I don't want to go back to jail, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't going to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's kind of how that is. But
I don't think,
you also don't want to be a novelty. You don't want to be the novelty friend. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you're the comedian, you're the funny guy, you're the fighter, you're the tough guy in the group. You know, you don't want to be that novelty friend with people only hanging out with you.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit strange to kind of have to be one of the spot for whatever your thing is.
Exactly.
You know, at all times. I have a buddy who's a mechanic, and he, dude, call that motherfucker every time something happens.
Oh, yeah.
Every time
I got one of
happens.
Those.
Every
novelty
time
friends, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Novelty friends.
This is what my thing is.
Do I hang out with him?
Nope. But I call him when I need him.
Call him at the fucking engine and make the fucking weird noise.
So, we hopped off the Kratom thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're trying to make it illegal.
Yeah, they are.
But they haven't.
They haven't, no. Because the petition, man. Because, once again, man, the Rogan bump.
Yeah.
As soon as Rogan puts something out there, you know, he shines that fucking bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come calling. So between like the fighting and the work and everything like that, you know, throwing motors on trucks all day and rotors and all this kind of crap.
Just
and driving and just the driving, you know, I'm driving like fucking violent. You know, that's
violent.
Yeah.
God,
I drive to Middletown, New York.
Oh my god, that's
you're my halfway point.
Oh my god,
you're my halfway point.
That's where I'm going for this comedy show, Middletown, New York.
Yeah. You're my halfway point to Middletown.
Yeah, because it's about 40 minutes from my house.
So like between like my back and everything like that. I was getting, my stomach was just like, I was getting like an acid reflux from all the ibuprofen I'd be eating all day.
Oh, wow.
To like take care of like the pain, just to like, you know, put it, you know, just to make it comfortable, you know?
What kind of pain? Just soreness?
Oh, you're talking just like knees, back, neck. You know, I have really bad tendon damage in my right hand.
You're destroying yourself.
From fighting and from.
And from your work, the way you described it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but with this, it's like, I go through my day, I come home, I take a couple Kratom, excuse me, and that takes all the fucking pain away. There's so many good side effects to it. Like,
what does it feel like?
It feels like pain, relief, light euphoria, I would say, depending on how many you take. You know, I know people who take it for anxiety and stuff like that. I know sometimes, like, my wife, she starts having, like a panic attack or something like that, or just anxiety, just stress sometimes. She'll take, like, one, and it relieves the anxiety and the stress, you know?
I've heard that in small doses,
yeah,
it's like a stimulant in a way.
Yeah.
And in a higher dose, it'll actually, like, there's an effect to it.
Yeah.
Like, almost like a psychological or not a psychological.
No, more like a, so, take... Say you take 2 to 4. That's like a couple strong cups of coffee.
Mm.
Let's say you take 7, which is a recommended dose. That's more like a painkiller.
Okay.
Like closer to the effects of something similar to.
So
like
it almost
light.
Becomes a downer.
It does become. I would say more mellows you out. You don't get down like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it definitely mellows you out. Takes the edge off and everything like that.
You think you could? I mean, what sort of amount would you have to take? Because, like, to me...
That's the thing about Kratom, though. It's not like an opioid in the sense, like, when you take an opioid... you got to watch A Leap of Faith. It explains everything. It's not...
What's that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's the one guy, the Bell, Mark... Snow.
Mark Bell. Yeah,
yeah,
Morris Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
The brothers?
The brothers, yeah. He's got the documentary. It's not like when you take an opium pill, like a Percocet or a Oxycontin. It basically just opens the fucking valve. you know, of
endorphins.
Yeah, I forgot what it is exactly that that takes away the pain. They explain it all in the documentary. This only has an allotted, you know, bit that it triggers. There's like an allotted amount, essentially. And there's a cap. There's a governor on the shit. Like a car, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Doesn't go above 80 miles an
and
hour.
It doesn't matter.
Even though there's 120 on the fucking dash, it's not going above 80. Essentially, it's the same thing. It only lets so much, no matter how many you take,
yeah,
you can't fucking OD or die on it because it only allows so much. You'll get sick and nauseous and throw up before you'll get, like, you'll overdose on the goddamn thing.
But you can get sick and throw up. It's just your body.
It's your body
rejecting it.
Yeah. Well, not rejecting it. It depends on how many you take. It depends on how it sits with you.
Yeah.
You know, like if you take 2 to 4, you're okay. You take like 7. That's like if you're in fucking pain, dude. If you're hurting, that's like the recommended dosage because the pills are 0.5-gram pills.
Okay.
And 3 grams essentially is right where you want to be at if you take it for like pain.
Okay.
If you take it for something like anxiety, you're right about 2 to 4 is really what you want.
How long does it take for it to kick in?
Approximately 40 minutes.
And did you start having an interest in it after that podcast with Mark and Chris Bell?
No.
What turned you on to it?
Let me see. I forgot. I honestly forgot.
How long has it been?
A couple months.
Okay.
It's been a few months. I saw... Oh, yeah, my wife turned me on to it. There you go.
Okay.
Because I was eating handfuls of fucking Advil and shit like
yeah.
that. And then it helps you sleep and everything
it's
like that.
It's non-steroidal, anti-inflammatory thing.
It's a beautiful thing. It does many things. And it's a natural thing. And of course, because you're taking it and you're prescribing it yourself, and the government's not regulating it, they want to make it illegal.
I also, I think they're confused because it attaches to opioid receptors. And even though it's not an opiate,
no.
It attaches to the same receptors that an opioid would attach
yeah.
to. So they're trying to kind of schedule
oh
it.
Oh my God, they have all these, like, this one woman down in Florida, like, if you watch, like, The Leap of Faith, like, she's very gung-ho on trying to, like, ban it. She's like, you know, killed my son. You know, be like, ma'am, your son had a fucking drug problem. It's like that
yeah,
when,
I've
like,
heard, okay.
It's like, why don't you blame Xanax and Zoloft and all that shit? Why is it automatically kratom, you know? Not the other cocktail or slew of drugs this person was on. Let's find something to blame.
Was it the kid that was in a car accident?
No, this kid jumped off a fucking bridge. He hung himself. I don't know. So
wow.
Some crazy shit down in Florida.
Can I see it?
The Leap of Faith?
No, not the Leaf. The pill, the crown.
Yeah. You want to pause this or come back?
No, you just, it's fine.
You want me to run in?
This is not an unedited piece of shit podcast.
It's a beautiful, well-produced.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this is interesting. I've never seen kratom. I've heard a lot about it. I'm sorry. I'm eating this ketogenic chili. I'm willing to bet it's a translucent pill casing with a brown something inside. Okay. Optimized plant mediated solutions. Manga. Comes in like a little silver pouch. Look, I'm so good. What did I say? A little. Oh, these smell like, have you ever taken Stacker? The fat burner?
No. I'm not a fat eighth grade chick.
I used to take it when I was a fat eighth
fat,
grade chick.
Fat eighth grade chick?
Yeah. This is exactly what I expected. It is, in fact, a translucent capsule with a kind of a brown,
green, earthy.
Greenish brown.
It tastes like the earth, too. You fucking, like, because they make it in powder form where you could just weigh out the grams yourself and mix it with, like, water or lemon. Or
it smells like fucking catnip. It smells exactly like catnip.
Are you a cat guy? I fucking hate cats.
How
dude.
Dare you? When you come over my house,
I will kick your fucking
my
cat.
My cat is the nicest cat, and you will immediately be won over by my cat.
I am sure that I will not.
I am very
I
sure that
you'll
love
I dislike cats. I feel
I
like
think
they
we'll
think they're
out.
Better than me.
He does.
That's what I'm saying.
He does. I'll give you that.
I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that?
It's catnip? Yeah. It smells like catnip. That's really interesting.
Yeah, give your cat.
Pulverized leaf capsules.
There you go.
This product contains... if encapsulated, capsules are used as carriers or containers for the Mitragyna speciosa.
That's the breed of of kratom that it is. It's
okay.
A Magna Thai.
that's a great.
Does this come from Thailand?
Yes, it does.
I remember hearing that.
Vice actually has a great like piece about it. Like if you watch it,
trying to reach out from journalists to Vice. I'm trying to do it. I want to get somebody from who deals with the right assisted suicide, the right to die.
Oh,
so if you're terminally ill or you're.
I was telling that to my dad. Like when he gets old, I was gonna figure out how to drive him somewhere to fucking just.
Nah, I think it might be legal soon. Oh. But, you know.
That's the way I want him to go out. Ideally, if he's got, like, something, an elbow, yeah, I want
one to whack him. That's a little, that's illegal.
Shoot him in the back of the head, like, fucking of mice and men.
Behind just, the, yeah, behind the
tell me the, tell me about the rap stars.
Yeah, I remember that stuff. But yeah, that's, so, you said about 3 to 4 mild stimulant, what, 4 cups of coffee, you said?
It'll jack you in, man.
It'll jack you in.
Turns all your bad feelings into good feelings.
That's the only movie fucking quote that you've ever said that I immediately recognize.
That's it, man. Honestly, I push it, man. I think it's a very good thing for people. I think if you have anxiety or something like that, I would look into it as an alternative to taking fucking benzos. Because heroin, the only thing you could die detoxing off of are benzos, which are antidepressants, and alcohol.
Okay.
You can't die from detoxing off of heroin, crack, coke.
A lot of that's a misconception. A lot of people think that
you can't. Yeah. There's been there hasn't been many people that have ever died off of a withdrawal or like heroin detox or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
But as somebody on the outside,
but benzos like antidepressants and antipsychotics and shit, there have been many fucking people that have died. You know, I'm throwing out bro science. I can't give you exact numbers, but I know a lot. Because I had to take this shit for probation.
You're getting this offline?
No. You could get it offline. Natural something or other. They make a good one. That's the one that Chris Bell uses.
Okay.
Natural Ice, I think their name is. Natural Organics. Organics. Okay. Yeah, if anybody wants to check that out, they're called Natural Organics. But you could go to a head shop. And that's the thing. It feels so fucking weird going to a head shop because there's like weed paraphernalia and all this
everywhere,
shit.
Everywhere, yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like I'm 11-year-old.
I know.
But like I go in there, and then some of them are fairly knowledgeable. But really, you got to do the research yourself.
Well, yeah, because
you got to know.
Relatively new to the Western.
Yeah, you got. I mean, I got like a fucking black belt in this thing now. Like I've done like a lot of like studies and stuff like that. And I wouldn't put something into my body that was harmful or you know anything like that.
How long have you been sober?
Almost 5 years, 4.5
really?
Years. Yeah, 4.5 years. No drugs, no booze.
I just never, I never had the mechanism that makes you go fall asleep on something. I've gotten close with alcohol a few times,
okay.
Like 2 winters.
Yeah.
There was like 2 winters ago, I got kind of a little crazy. It was
okay.
Like drinking.
You ever been so drunk, somebody wants to give you something, and you're like, no, I'm too drunk, or I had enough? I've never had that happen.
You've
to
never
me.
Said no.
I never had,
oh my
I
God.
Never said, no, I had enough. That
yeah.
was, that's just... I've never been that.
I'm very aware of which drink is going to put me over the edge. I know what it, and even maybe it could be like a placebo.
I've never had a drink that what that ever put me over the edge. I was
oh,
like, I'm
man.
Still ready to go.
No way. I've fallen asleep on friends' bathroom floors and.
Amen, brother. Pissed the bed.
It wasn't long ago actually that my wife had to clean me.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in a bathtub of my own vomit.
Oh
yeah.
I was a pisser. I'd get so drunk. See, that last week before I quit,
mm-hmm.
I knew that I really got to calm down
because
like...
you pee-peed yourself?
I pissed myself 3 times that week, sir. that week. Fucking... Dave is choking on chili.
Oh, my God.
I will now be the...
you are now the new host of...
The new host of Where I Belong. Brought to you by MeUndies. I'm going to wear underwear. Why not wear
one day I'll get somebody to sponsor this.
You should.
Show.
You got to put it out there. Just tell people. Be like, I have a fucking amazingly super successful podcast.
I had somebody try to sponsor me, and they said, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to use our website for recording. They have their own recording app
mm-hmm.
and uploading all your shit. And I said, okay. What sort of thing?
But they own the content?
I think, yeah. I think
oh,
that's
see, that's horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
Horseshit.
And they also decide, you know, they go, well, I said, what would be grounds for disqualification? You know, what would kind of terminate the contract? And they said, any sort of
racially charged, blah, 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 or sexually, you know, this and that.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, who
we
decides?
Just talked about, like, sucking dick for money.
Exactly, exactly. I would have fucking lost my $10 per episode. Mm. And I was thinking, like, $10 per episode. My episodes are typically an hour long.
You'd have $1.70.
Right? Yeah, right? If I chopped it up and started doing two a week or three a week or, you know.
Semi-retired.
I didn't want any of that. If there's sponsors, they'll come along. You know what? I'm so pretentious that when the dude reached out to me, when he reached out to me, he was like, we enjoy your show and we would like to sponsor you. I said, what episode did you listen to and what made you interested? Like, you know, what was the specifics of what made you? He had no answer.
It was like the headshot. Listened.
Yeah, the headshot. The one, the creepy cartoon.
So sexy.
And your cardigan. I was thinking about eliminating from the neck down and just being a floating head that's looking at you a little
that
sideways.
Wouldn't be bad. Maybe with like the surprise, like, lines off the head. Like,
I wanted to do that too, but I have zero skills in Photoshop or anything like that.
I have zero artistic ability. Yeah. So a guy who's covered in tattoos, I have
none of the ability to draw the thing. That's a very nice, nice stocking around there.
Thank you, bro.
That the detail in that rooster head,
mm-hmm.
It's actually really dope.
This guy's dead.
Is he really?
Yes, dude. He tattooed a lot of my body. My boy Joe Madden.
Okay.
Heroin overdose.
That's fucking really good, man.
Dude, he did a lot of my fucking work. I just got this done.
Oh, I saw the photo. That's dope as hell, bro.
Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I got a
that's very
big
cool.
Samurai tattooed on my back because I'm a fucking warrior.
Yeah. So, tough guy, bro.
That's it, bro. I'm just peacocking. This is just like letting you know, maybe you don't want to fuck with the guy with the samurai hat.
Yeah, you know what sucks?
Could have had this if I was a pussy.
I'm like 5'7", you know, 165 pounds.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing about me that says, like, you probably shouldn't fuck with that guy. And if you're, like, more than half the population, you'd probably be all right fucking with this guy. You know what
you
I mean?
Gotta go home, just grind your ears into the wall, get some cauliflower ear.
I was
get some cauliflower ear going.
You know, I was training with Tim Leckie on the mountain, and it's just me and him in a shed. And
like Rocky.
I don't get to win. Because he's made of corded steel, so
yeah.
I never get to win.
Not even a little bit.
I'm paying to lose all the time.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, like, when you tell people about, like, sometimes, like, you get kind of hard on yourself, like, during fight camps and stuff like that. You're not supposed to fucking win fight camps.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a gladiator school where you get your fucking ass kicked. The best you could hope for is holding your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you're not supposed to win sparring. You're not supposed to win fight camp.
But I think it's important to have those moments of, like, if you don't win...
Little victories.
Yeah, because you get
to
see...
Like, I went all 10 rounds, or all 5 rounds, or... Yeah.
That was one of the things that really improved towards the end of my... Lionheart was my fucking gas
cardio,
tank.
Yeah.
My gas tank has been historically trash.
Oh, yeah.
And I was able to go, you know, 4 or 5 rounds. You know what I was talking about with effort before, where I was actually winning the rounds, was I would go in, and I would fake the right. Mm-hmm. This is just something that I think Ash taught. It was like, fake the right... And then come up with the uppercut to the body, or like I think called a shovel hook.
Yeah,
shovel. And then overhand right over the top. And Craxton was watching it, and I did it like 4 times, and he was just like, if it keeps working, keep going to the well. And Efren was so pissed off that he just, for whatever
it's
reason,
he'll have an answer or something, yeah.
But
Chad Mendes throws this one thing constantly, and just it works all the time. Throws like an overhand right that just kind of gets you like looking at that, like, and then boom with the left, like the left fucking, like the 3, he fires that 3.
That right hand that Khabib caught Conor with was like he faked the shot a little bit, enough to get his hands low.
But what does that say about Conor?
He's afraid of the shot.
No. I'm sorry, what does that say about Khabib? That he hit him flush perfectly with the hardest hit you could throw if you're an orthodox fighter, an overhand right, and it just sat him down.
Yeah, and also... A lot of boxing coaches would tell you not to throw a punch that way. You know what I mean?
He just throws a wild like that because he's got no fear of getting taken down. You don't have to worry about shooting.
And he knows you're afraid of getting taken down. So
he can throw wild shots like that. And a wild shot is beautiful for setting up those power doubles and snatching a single. Those things are great.
One of the things I missed out on was wrestling. Wrestling, and we had Josh Key.
Yeah.
Was doing wrestling for a little while.
Josh Key just got his black belt, actually.
He's over at...
I'm taking him his black belt.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
Frank Yeager.
Yeah.
Frank Yeager's. Yeah, he was teaching wrestling for a little grip there, but he ended up moving on to the U.S. But
you know, my ground game, all that stuff, which is, I'm excited to, I'm going to be doing gi jiu-jitsu at Renzo Gracie.
It's fun, man.
Yeah, I just want to, it's right around the corner from me, maybe like 10, 15 minutes down the street.
Yeah.
And I just don't really want to get my bell rung anymore, you know?
I mean, that's kind of where I'm at when people are like, you know, you going to fight again? Like, I don't know, I'm going to punch in the face for your entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not the greatest thing. I mean, I know there's been times where, you know, whether it was you or somebody else clobbered the living shit out of me, and it kind of ruined the rest of my day.
I do it out of love.
Weird
fucking pompous little pretentious ass deserved it.
I used to have a handlebar mustache when you were punching me in the face.
You were Mustache Dave. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even clever.
You know what bummed me out? You know what bummed me out? We took a group Fudo.
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 Okay.
And,
At a photo place. That's why it's called the Fudo.
Yes. Okay, Balut. And, we took photos afterwards. And I got cut out of that photo.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was posted on the new Lionheart MMA's page, and it was turned into black and white, and
yeah.
All that's there is, like, a little bit of my arm.
Oh, dude, they fucking Back to the Future, dude.
Yeah, took a great
with
photo.
The photo
yep.
Just dissolving out, and
yep.
You're looking at your fucking hand.
I was so bummed. I didn't realize that until, like, rather recently, and I was like, and it was, like, you know, the only thing that I could attribute it to is I wasted the fucking man's time. I wasted his time, and he was like,
fuck you.
I don't think
it was done like that.
I was kind of really cut out of that photo, bro.
He does know how to do Photoshop, though. Right?
I mean, you just crop it.
He's good with that.
I'll pull it up after this episode, and I'll show you it. And start
crying.
Crazy when I cry, yeah. But
what are we going on here? 1 hour, 30 minutes. We got time.
You got time?
I got nothing but time.
So when's the next... Are you at all interested in fighting again?
No, and that's like a thing. Like, I don't have a... Like, the person I was when I was fighting, like, getting ready to fight and stuff like that, that drive, that animal, you gotta be a fucking madman to get ready for a fight. There's another man training to beat the shit out of you in front of your friends and family. And
that's what I think of every
you know,
time.
And the thing is, it's just like, I don't think I really wanna, like, do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that drive and that fucking, like, animal fire, rocky shit, you know, that,
mm-hmm.
You know, when he fought Drago, I don't have that right now. I have no, and my brother said it best. He was like, Jay, this is about you trying to prove something. So you got nothing to prove, man. You know, you literally sought out your goal, and he's like, you're still active. He's like, you're still training. I help all these guys get ready for their fights. Like, Steve posted a really nice thing the other day. He was like, you know, I'm gonna shout out my boy Jay, because I never ask for shit all in return except that I get better. You know, like, Steve is my main training partner now. Steve
yeah.
Targer.
Big dude.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is a big dude.
That's what I'm saying. Me and him, like, are, you know, big. We're right there. Our weights are, like, the same and everything.
He's pretty tall, though, right?
Yeah, he's tall as shit.
Yeah.
But my arms are actually longer than his.
Really?
Yeah. I told you. I got like, giant
bodies.
I got long arms.
Okay.
He's got long fucking legs, though, kicking from across the room. But, yeah, he's like an ostrich, and I'm like a chimpanzee.
All right. So you guys get on each other's shoulders, make
yeah.
a pretty
yeah.
beefy megazord.
So he's my main training partner now, but I just don't have that. So I love still being a part of it, like
yeah.
The
culture of.
I can't. That's how I. That's who I am. You know, when people are like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I always say, like, "I'm a fighter." You know, I love that thing. I wear that with pride because that's how I. Associate myself as such, you know. This is what I just love it. You know? I have to be around it. I have to be getting guys like ready or you know doing something in the gym or fixing something. I just love being around it, man. You know.
What about maybe like a jiu-jitsu tournament?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing something like that. That'd be kind of fun.
But you don't really sound interested.
I never had a love for jiu-jitsu like
the
that. I always grappled right. because I knew I had to.
Yeah.
I never had a love. Even though I'm good at it,
mm-hmm.
I never had that, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that's very, like, A and B.
Mm-hmm.
A and B. You know, it's like, you tapped or you didn't tap the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to that. So you can lose a bunch of times, and I hate fucking losing. See, in like, a sparring session, like, striking, like, Muay Thai, it's like, he got the better of me there, but I got the better of him there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll call this one a tie.
Yeah, there's no, like,
you know, there's no gray area.
This one a tie.
There's no gray area in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's he fucked me up or, you know,
mm-hmm.
he did it. So it's,
But I never, like, fell in love with jiu-jitsu like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like, the answer is jiu-jitsu. I'm not that kind of guy like that, you know? Just never looked at it like that. And I think you have to be, like, that black belt level and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You have to love it, you know?
Yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, I want to be...
Did you love it, or did you do it because you had to? Because you were always a striker. You were always a boxer.
Well, to be honest, it was... I was only a boxer because I was receiving compliments on my hands. So, you know, you go into this whole thing, and you're, you know, for me, when I first went, I was scared of shit.
Yeah.
To go there and then to receive any compliment on anything is kind of a reaffirmation of,
yeah,
I should be here.
This is what I should do.
And I should be here because of this. I'm good with my hands, so that's what I'm going to do. And then...
Absolutely. Had you been a wrestler in high school, you would have probably liked jiu-jitsu more.
Yeah.
Because you were a street fucker.
Mm-hmm.
Street thug.
Yeah, I never did anything in high school. I never did anything. There was a lot of fights and shit growing up. And, you know, if you're on the street and you throw a fucking kick, you're an asshole.
Oh,
if
it goes to the ground. Somebody up with leg kicks, man.
Yeah, oh my God.
You saw that dude, Phoenix Jones?
Yeah.
Dude, shit, that dude. You should have him on the podcast, bro. He'll do it, too.
What was that, the mutual combat thing that he did in the street?
Yes.
And the cops watched when it was allowed to happen?
Texas or whatever, it's legal. Phoenix Jones, he'll definitely do your fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Now, he's a legit killer. Like, he's a very decorated MMA fighter.
Yeah.
His brother does it, too.
He fights for World Series of Fighting, I think.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't
followed his career that closely, but yeah. I know he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
And I'm almost positive he would do this. He's a fucking... See, that's what I'm saying. For all intents and purposes, he's a superhero.
Absolutely.
I'm like Captain America.
His outfit's dope. I don't like the color scheme, but...
I
as
like
far
his
as
color.
Like the...
Black and gold. Black and gold
was
dope.
Yeah, it does. But...
it wouldn't look good on white
people. Probably not, right?
Couldn't pull it off.
Like,
yeah.
But there was a video where he's engaging these two assholes and kind of drunk or whatever, and,
uh-huh,
and the cops are involved, but the cops...
they have a mutual combat law. Yeah.
And they allowed him
as
to...
As long as you say yes, and skadoosh.
Which to me is perfectly fine. You're two willing adult,
yeah,
parties that are willing to,
now,
engage in combat.
Are you really willing if you're drunk, though? That's like a consent with sex.
Yeah, but...
Do you want to fuck this guy?
Nobody,
yes,
says
you
were... Like, you didn't consent to driving the car and crashing into somebody else. So this is the same shit without a vehicle.
That's
know?
True.
Nobody...
I would love to hear your podcast. Because he's,
I think,
gonna,
I'm for sure gonna reach out.
Because you gotta have him tell that story. That's a great story. Because what we just saw was essentially just a little snippet.
I mean, I've watched. You ever watch some of his stuff?
His fights or just him,
no,
patrolling?
Just him like patrolling the streets,
yeah,
and being this. I mean,
I loved it after he chipped that dude up with three leg kicks, and
yeah,
he was like, "Better check those."
Yep.
His boy was like, "Better check those. They're gonna break your leg."
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That dude's legit as shit. But I know for the most part, if you threw a leg kick in a street fight, especially going to, you know,
bitch move,
middle school, yeah. If it goes to the ground and you're grappling, stand up. Everybody stand up.
No, no, stand up. Separate. Stand up.
And that was always how it was.
Stand right there.
So it was always hands.
Always.
You know what I mean? And I always had this, I was disillusioned. I thought I had hands before I ever was trained.
Oh,
you know?
Me too. When CJ, when I, my first day there, and he's like, all right, 1, 2, 3. I was like, I don't know these fucking numbers you're talking about. You know?
What are you saying to
what
me, bro?
What the fuck are you talking,
yeah,
about? He's like, this is your 1, this is your 2, this is your 3, this is your 4, this is your 5, this is your 6, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like when you're doing mitts or you're holding mitts, I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 2, 1, you know, or 1, 2, 3, 2.
It just starts rattling off.
Double jab, 3, you know, uppercut, you know? It's just, it starts becoming like just a part of your everyday vocabulary.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember doing pad work with Coach Ash when I was, you know, geared up to do things, and that was the most exhausting shit in the world to me.
Oh, mitt work? Because it was a bitch.
Oh,
you got to do
shit.
It, though, man. And that was a thing we never used to do a lot. And then me and Crax and Steve were, like, talking. And we were like, guys, we got to do some.
It's all about
work.
The repetition, right? Until it's just...
Yeah, pip.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of bag work.
Okay.
Once in a while, Coach Sal holds mitts for me and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
I do a ton of fucking bag work. I got good on that speed bag. You actually...
Oh, well, I could do it real fast. I can't do it slow.
Did you ever see that post? That I posted me working speed bag?
I think so. Maybe. How long ago?
It was recent. Just fairly recent.
Something like that.
Oh, I did do
it.
You've been proud. I do really good.
I could do it fast.
Yeah.
If you try to get me to slow it down, break my rhythm up, do it in different, I can't.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like one of those things that I thought was just a novelty, you know?
That's how I thought it was, too. Because I knew my fast fisting
I got pretty
didn't apply to,
yeah,
to real life.
That's it.
See the way that you're starting up?
Yeah.
And then moving to the other, I can't do that.
See, I got good at it because I was like, well, fucking Dave could do it. And the thing is, like, I would just go in there and I would honestly practice just, like, 3 minutes a day. And now,
yeah.
And now I finish every workout with a little, like...
Look at that. Yeah, that looks like a video that you would Rocky. See. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So. Absolutely. I wouldn't be able, if I didn't know you, I would go, oh yeah, this guy's a fucking professional boxer.
Yeah, understand.
If you told me that was, yeah. I believe that. Yeah, you know, another thing that MMA did for me was it taught me that, I don't know what the fuck tired is. I had no idea what it was to be exhausted. Until I was laying on the ground with steam pouring off of my sweaty tits. I had no idea.
See, I had an idea because, like, with CrossFit.
Yeah, well, that's
like
that, good.
You get to that point where it almost breaks your will working out.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just do it and I'd be like, what the fuck? How is this going to help? You know, it's like...
So you got there.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I need to do something that's, like, going to help me. I'm never going to be in a situation where I need to... fucking, you know, snatch 225 pounds. You know, it's not going to be... Deadlift, yeah, possibly. But snatching and doing these ollie movements and shit, and doing, like, cleans for 150 reps, I'm like, I don't need to do this shit. That's all just some stuff that helps me become a better fighter.
I remember going to the gym with you, and I did it maybe 2-3 times tops.
Oh, my God.
And
right.
For sure
I
would find
you.
Every reason to never fucking go with you again.
I
remember you making me push the sled.
Oh, yeah.
Which
sled.
I thought was cool. I thought, I had seen that. I'm like, you know, your football movie, they're pushing the sled.
Your
I'm like, that was
football
like a cool
movie.
It was terrible.
Going down and back 5 times.
I did it down and halfway back after, like, the kettlebells and the fucking, you know, whatever else we were doing.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, we're doing a ton of stuff. And we're doing, like, see, that was nice. Like, me and you were, like, good training partners.
Yeah.
See, I always wanted that. Like, I see, when you left, you left me alone. I had nobody.
You were going to levels that I wasn't trying to go to, though. And I didn't know that actively. In hindsight, I know that. In hindsight, I know that I wasn't trying to go to those places.
Yeah.
But at the time, I just, you know, I was like, whatever.
See,
but
after you left, Praxton started coming, like, pretty steadily.
Yeah.
So me and him became, like, partners, like sparring partners, like, you know, training buddies, like, and then, like, after a while, like, Steve really kind of started coming back, like, consistently, and because he was, like, bigger, you know, because Steve comes in at about 200 pounds,
okay,
like, at the time, he was about 212, actually, it was the more logical transition for me to start working with him, and then Craxton started working more along the lines with Kevin. He got really just mainly into, like, grappling.
Yeah.
Like, he dove real big into, like, jiu-jitsu. He loves it. A lot of shits and stuff. Even Steve's like, does like a lot of MMA. He used to love being like the striker, you know, but Steve is like really kind of tearing it up at these tournaments and on these competitions. And, you know, his last one was on like, you know, like a televised thing. Like, he's doing very, very well. Like,
what's his Devante?
Devante.
He's still going? He's a monster. He's built
like a
big
baby
shit. He's huge.
He's like baby type.
I remember him hitting.
Oh, he'll level you if he connects. He's got, like, baby Huey style strength.
I've sparred with him, like, one time, and luckily it was just before he had his shit together, and I didn't have to make any count. But I remember watching you and him crack each other. This is way after when he actually started to develop a skill set.
Yeah.
And you were just cracking each other in the fucking face. Like,
yeah.
I remember lining up against the wall with everybody, and we're all just watching you guys clobber each other in the fucking face. And I'm going, I think that's when a little voice in my head went, and that's when I started to taper off.
Get
after
to
seeing that,
Buick.
I was like, fucking no,
get to your
man. It's just, you're either in that or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's how I feel right now fighting. That's what I'm saying when somebody's like, you want to fight? I'm not that person.
Yeah.
Even though I'm actually a better fighter and more well trained than that guy was, I don't have the heart and desire, mind, will to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
But you can still derive all this shit from martial arts. And not do the competitive side of it. Do you ever think about, like, after some time, like, coaching?
Oh, I do a lot of coaching, dude. I was coaching the striking for a little bit, striking and stuff like that.
Do you like that?
I love coaching. I love training and coaching.
Okay.
And helping guys getting ready for the fight. These guys are younger guys, man. It's their time, you know. I missed my window. I understand that. But what I could still do is be some sort of asset to the gym.
Yeah.
Just help and just be around it. I love it, man. Love getting these guys ready and everything like that. You know, power's the last thing to go, you know. I still hit like a fucking ton. I still have really good movement.
Yeah.
Still fast, still explosive, you know. I haven't,
And I contribute that, a lot of that, to, like, healthy eating and not drinking, yeah, and not drugging, and not fucking smoking, and doing all the right things to maintain my boyish good looks.
You know, is that the secret?
That's
it's the ketogenic diet, you handsome piece of shit.
That's it.
I just need to eat that bread, though. You know what I don't trust?
It's not fucking bread.
What is it? What is it? Because
it's keto,
deceptively delicious, and I feel guilty for eating it?
It's keto cornbread, bro. There's only, like, fucking... How many grams of carbs per slice? Approximately 11, maybe? There you go. So, fuck you.
What's the bulk of it? What's the bulk of this? I don't understand.
Almond flour.
With jalapeno and cheddar, bro.
It's amazing.
It is?
I actually just gave up, like... I just said, oh, I can't have... I can't. What did you post? It was these two jars of like a buttery stuff. What is that?
Yeah, no, I drop dough on butters. Like anything that's keto sweet, I don't give a fuck. What is that? $160 for a 12 ounce jar? I'll buy it. I'm out of my fucking mind, dude.
What is it?
It's not a $160 jar. Actually, that's
no, but I'm saying
like G butter. It's basically like, you know, it's almost like a frosting-y kind of thing that you could eat, and it's keto as long as you eat within like the allotted amount, which is like 2 tablespoons. I'll eat a jar a day, you know. But even like a jar is still like less than fucking 30 grams, I think, of carbohydrate.
I just go with the peanut butter with the oil separation. You just look at the ingredients. If it's peanuts and salt, good.
Yeah,
that's it.
Don't throw no fucking canola oil.
I fucking love Skippy, bro.
Bro, Skippy or Peter Pan peanut butter?
Ooh. It's not even peanut butter. It's just a sweet peanutty paste.
It's a
oh
sweet
my
peanut
god.
Paste.
Yeah, I gave up on any kind of, you know, to me there's all these like keto cookies, keto pancakes.
Yeah.
You know this? And I'm
we make keto pancakes in this house, bro.
I just tell myself, that's a fucking lie.
It's real. But the thing is, you gotta make this shit.
Yeah.
You don't strike me as a,
nope,
a saucier or a cook.
Nope. My,
I love cooking. Me and my wife did this chili together.
It's delicious.
I cook like a motherfucker. Bro.
I don't cook worth a day.
Oh, my knife skills are...
I suck at
like
it.
Like a
I
fucking
just,
samurai. Bro.
You know, my dinner, I come home, it's usually like, you know, pan-seared chicken breast.
Two eggs.
Yeah, something like that.
Kale.
Yeah, some sort of kale or whatever.
Two eggs and a grip of kale out the back.
I start eating 9 a.m. I stop eating at 3:30. I'm done for the day. This is really late. But it's the weekends. I'll fuck over.
Do you think some people just are hating and waiting for you to get fat again?
Yeah, like, actually,
oh,
yeah.
My
mom, you're out there
picture.
Listening. She said when I moved to that fucking mountain, she's like, you're going to get fat. That's what my mother said to me. That's what she said to me.
Take
said,
that,
fat
mom.
Fat shit. You're going to get fat.
Take that.
And it did happen a little bit. And then I kind of course corrected it.
There you go.
You know, they say like, oh, well.
50% of the time, I'm keto.
Yeah.
50% of the time, I'm not.
Fuck about anything. I stay pretty
strict to it, though.
Yeah.
I do. You got me into it.
Well,
you did, from the fucking, like, the before and afters and all being all ketoed up.
Yeah.
Not Chav or Rogan. When I knew somebody
that
and
really
actually made the run at it, and I was like, this motherfucker's not looking good.
Yeah.
You're looking a little Hugh Jackman-esque.
I was
chest hair.
Bro.
I was like...
There's a picture of me right before my son was born. The night before my son was born, I was at a barbecue. Somebody snapped a picture of me. I've got a hot dog in each hand. And
you're
I look
gross.
Like you caught like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
I look terrified.
Look like fucking Rosie O'Donnell.
My arm is like the size of... You can't see my body through my arm. It's not because I'm yoked. It's because it's
gross.
Bad. It's just all spread out. I'm just... hot dog halfway in one mouth.
Fucking
another
mustard on your shirt.
I was taking the second hot dog out of fear that someone else was going to take that hot dog. So
and
I
you
fucking
were swirling it away.
Yeah, like this, I'm claiming this
and
right now.
And you ate it when it was probably all dry and shit, not fresh off the grill.
No,
just
it was...
packing it in. Maybe throw a couple Budweisers on top
I
of that.
I used to eat...
King of Beers.
Betty Crocker frosting.
Yeah, out the tub.
Oh, bitch, I used to buy that shit.
Bro, you get one of those Skippy's peanut butters and one of those frostings, you got yourself a hood peanut butter cup right there.
I was at a...
Hood butter cup.
It was another... No, it wasn't another fight. I had some kind of get-together for something.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody bought a chocolate Entenmann's cake. This is pretty recent. And I looked at it, and I said, I'm not going to have any of that. And then 11 o'clock at night rolls
around. Did you get
around.
Drunk?
Oh, that was really good.
That's it.
Yeah, so...
Inhibition just...
Once the boy goes to sleep, as soon as he goes to sleep, it's a wrap. If he ever were to wake up and walk out into the house and see us, he'd be like,
where the fuck
is he? He's asleep. It's 11 o'clock at night. Everybody's outside sitting around this little fire that we got, fire pit, and I walk back inside and I notice there's only one square cut out of this Entenmann's cake. It's 11 o'clock at night. If they wanted it, they would have eaten it already.
Did you feel guilty about eating that, though?
The whole time. I ate the whole thing with the fork, right there.
Bro,
the whole tin, just ate the whole thing.
It was my birthday a couple weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
October 5th, thank you. And I come back from work, and they're like, yo, we have all this sushi left over. It was like 30 pieces. I ate all of them, bro, and I felt so guilty. It would almost be like if I had a fucking beer. I felt like that. Like, I let myself down. I let my family down.
Yeah.
It was just a feeling of loss, yeah. Dude. Like, oh, my God. You piece of shit.
There's been
like, because it broke my will.
Oh, yeah.
My will was not as strong as 30 pieces of delicious sushi.
Not only that, but you're going to see that shit. Like, it's amazing how much I could diet for as long as I do.
Yeah.
And then I fuck up one weekend. I step on the scale, and I see that. I see that difference immediately. I'll see it. I'll see a 4-5 pound gain. From one day of fucking
up. I used to see a 7 pound gain almost on a weekend.
Yeah.
I would start eating pizzas from Friday night and drinking booze.
Mm-hmm.
Actually I was not drinking, it was just eating. Pound out a couple of them, you know, fucking Zaz. From Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was a marathon of just food intake. Monday I'd step on the scale, I'd be 207. And Friday I'd be 200 pounds. But then I'd burn it off through a
Yep.
It was disgusting.
For me, I was going through this phase for a long time. Monday to Friday was this desperate thing to lose weight. I would lose the weight. On the weekend, I would fuck it up. The lowest I've ever been is 163. And that was like maybe one day, one time.
Yeah.
So I woke up in the morning, you're always light when you first wake up.
Always. That's it.
Yeah. And
that's the way I go by.
I'm not going to tell you what I am after I drink a bunch of shit and eat a bunch of shit.
You know what the funny thing is? I'm a ketogenic diet. I wake up, I'm 198. I step on a scale at night. I'm 198. Really fucking weird. Really weird. I see almost no fluctuation in weight, though.
I can't say that for myself. I see a pretty dramatic fluctuation, like, all the time in my weight by, like, 4 or 5 pounds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You strike me as the kind of guy who really lives and dies by that scale.
It's out of batteries right now?
You got that form of fat kid complex right now.
Oh, my God. I was a fat kid most of my life.
You got, what's that one kid from Stand By Me?
I forget
Jerry O'Connell?
You fucking movie encyclopedia.
You got that Jerry O'Connell complex.
How do you remember the kid from Stand By Me's name? What happened?
Jerry O'Connell.
Did you suffer head trauma?
All the time.
When you were younger? You ever hear like the Kinnison thing?
Oh, dude. I used to play football. I had more concussions in Pop Warner football than I had as a player.
That's why you're such a psychopath.
Yeah.
Nah. You hear the Sam Kinnison story? He got hit by a car and suddenly was a wild man after getting hit by a car as a child. Rosie O'Donnell.
No, I was always a wild piece of shit.
Were you hit by a car?
Was hit by a car. A couple times.
Were you really?
Yeah, one I remember vividly. I was riding my bike in a snowstorm coming down from the street.
Okay.
I went to the corner store and I'm riding it during a fucking snowstorm and I just went across and didn't look back, or I looked real quick and I started going and a car just boof.
How old were you?
I was running around the neighborhood about 11, right around there. But I was okay.
That scares the shit out of
me. I still got a scar, but I think it's covered up with the fucking tattoo.
There you go.
Yeah,
I
gotta get some going on you, bro.
It's expensive, bro. It's expensive.
You gotta get the homie hookup.
Well, what I gotta do is have a tattoo artist on the podcast.
Yeah, that's it. Dude, because honestly, my tattoo artist, shout out to Pat Dean over at Neptune Tattoo, he is fucking amazing. You know, he's studied under, like, Hardy and really well-known tattoo artist in Japan. He's very well-known.
Is he Yoshi?
Could be Yoshi, though.
Yoshi!
It could be. And then he's just very versatile. He does beautiful American traditional, beautiful Japanese work. And he does jiu-jitsu now.
Ah,
and me and him, we always talk, you know?
Jiu-jitsu boys.
Yeah, okay. So I'm his fighter friend. He's my tattoo friend. But we talk and everything like that. And he's telling me about, like, how he's learning and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, and he's like, you know, I hope to be, you know, good, man. Like, one day, like, how you could just go in there and fucking roll and shit like that with anybody. I was like, yeah, but Pat, you got your fucking black belt and tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to remember, this is going to be the same road, the same journey you took to get here.
That
if
long,
you
want
to do it, it's going to be the same journey to get that, you know.
Which, you know, it's doable.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's just, it, you know,
you have to have a love, you have to have stick-to-itiveness, and you have to be a little crazy.
Yeah.
There's certain crazies in this world, and I always say that. There's certain crazies in this world. There's a guy who's crazy, and he starts a multi-million dollar company. You know, because he's got that kind of crazy, that kind of drive and everything like that, which is different than my kind of crazy. My kind of crazy is I will train like a gladiator and fight another man half naked in a cage for other people's entertainment for very little money. That's my crazy,
yeah.
You know?
If you had the option, would you fight in rash guards? I feel like I'm so insecure. Like, if you gave me that option.
Can I fight in Spanx?
Just no. No, okay. It has to be... what is that? Chest-high Spanx?
Chest-high Spanx.
All right.
It's kind of rash guard.
That's fine. It just covers the... I feel like I'm so... I think I have a body dysmorphia thing.
You do. You got former fat kid coming.
Yeah, my wife says it to me all the time. Where I'm like, I just look like shit today. And she's like, what are you talking about? I just don't... It's just
puke up your meals.
Let me tell you. I know how they get there. Because after
I used to do it.
Shit,
I used
I
to do that.
To myself, like, I feel like I can just yank all this up.
I used to puke, yeah. I used to puke on top of being an alcoholic.
Well,
I had so many problems, bro. I was just a flavor of the month kind of fucking addict.
That's like when they say comedians. It's like all the best comedians are fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be fucked up.
Because they have that kind of crazy.
Yeah.
They have the kind of crazy that they go on stage and they tell jokes and tell shameless stories about themselves.
That's what I think.
Like what we're doing.
As far as the crazy, I think the crazy for striking is different than the crazy for jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
Jiu-jitsu is not as psychologically damaging.
Well, I get that all the time, but somebody's like, how can you get punched in the face?
Yeah, because you're punching me where I live. I live, like, right here. Right back here. I live right behind my face.
I always tell people, like, it's amazing what you could get used to. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I guess so, yeah.
It's really like that.
Yeah, I could see maybe getting used to it, but it is... It's psychologically... Like, getting punched in the face doesn't even really hurt, like... In the sense that you would think. It's kind of a dull thud that dazes you.
Yeah.
From what I remember. Just like getting socked in the face. It wasn't pain, except for the headache that comes fucking later. That
oh, yeah,
pain.
That throbbing fucking, I forget where I parked my car pain. Yeah.
But the dull thud and the disorientation, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of people are afraid of when it comes to striking is the pain. It's not really. Like, I would rather get punched in the head than leg kicked ever again in my whole fucking life.
But see, I'd rather get punched in the face and leg kick than get my arm fucking stretched in jiu-jitsu.
Right, but you could always just be like, hey, don't do that anymore. Like, you can't just
see,
stop
I don't
that want to
do that, though.
Oh, dude, I have no problem.
I'm a very, like, I'm problem solver. I'm getting out this bitch.
No, definitely never had that problem at all, which is probably why I'll never be super good at jiu-jitsu. I just want to do jiu-jitsu because I want to be...
You're a natural athlete.
Yeah, I can see that. That's for certain. But I don't really want to, you know, do that. I just want to be in the culture of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I
just want to be a part of it.
That's it. I don't want it, like, for me, lifting and working out and shit is monotonous and boring as fuck.
See, the way I lift and train, I actually have a good time.
That's a little rough.
You train with me.
Yeah, it was really rough.
But it's not like doing bro sets. We're not like doing bro sets. That shit.
No, I like that you switched it up. It was like, you know, this to the chin apart, to the kettlebells, to the lunges, to the fucking...
Free barbell.
There was I know, was it a... No, it was battle rope at the gym. Coach F had a battle rope hooked up. Is that sled still functioning?
Is
it really?
Yeah, I use it in the summer.
Did you rip it up?
No, it's holding its own, dude.
It's doing good.
I use it in the summer a lot for all the guys and everything like that. We'll do tire stuff, we'll do sled stuff.
Yeah.
But that was really cool, man. That was a really nice gift.
Yeah, I was happy to do that.
I was wondering if you could make us a prowler. Prowler was like the straight bar with the bar there, the real actual sled push with the...
Oh, when it's got like the arms on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably pull that off.
I know you can. You got abilities, huh?
I just
got
to get the material from a different place now. But yeah, that was a nice thing to do because I still had that severe guilt complex of abandoning.
No, I knew you would do that. I knew you would fucking do that if I asked.
As soon as you asked, I was like, absolutely anything. Please, anything. Make him forgive me.
You know, when we started this, it was daylight. Now
it is, we should start wrapping this up. What are we at? 1:58. That's perfect. All my stuff gets wrapped up 2 hours in.
2 hours. I feel like this went well.
I enjoyed it. I got to do this again.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Coach Ash.
Absolutely. Get him on.
Yeah.
He'd be great.
For sure.
Real fun.
But thanks for doing this, man. I know we couldn't do it last time because, I don't know what the fuck happened.
The drive sucks?
The drive sucks. I never reached out. It just all got fucked up. But this time I knew for sure we're getting this done. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm
and it
trying,
was awesome to see your dope-ass place. So,
it was awesome to have you, dude.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
A blast. And thank you guys for tuning in. And I will see y'all next time.
Peace.
Later.